we started the seventh perek, and the Mishnah starts with the din of bench and mezuman, and the Gemara asks, "Mina hanimili? How do you know there's an institution of bench and mezuman?" The Gemara learns it from a pasuk, "Gadlu l'Hashem itin iram mashmayachtav." Sounds like it's a din deraisa. We'll have to continue the next daf in the Gemara. Sounds very much from the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Sounds very much that it's a din deraisa. I have to see a mem vav and aleph in the bottom of the yom. Some rishonim say explicitly that it's only anas machtim and the rabban. They don't accept that it's their ass. Okay, we'll continue. So the Gemara says, where do you know that it's such an institution of what? What do you mean bench and mezuzah? When you give a shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'tzibur, that's what we call a davar shebikdusha. So that's basara. So that's even though Rav Moshe writes that the whole din is only a din with the rabbanon, that's why some rishonim are makel that nine gedolim and one katan is mitzarev to a minyan. He says with respect to Yoharik Bal Yavor that it depends on b'fnei asara m'Yisrael. Sometimes Yoharik Bal Yavor is only b'farhesia, so farhesia means b'fnei asara. So Rav Moshe thinks it has to be asara gedolim. Rabbi Natan is not going to say that if you have nine gedolim and one katan, you have to give up your life. That's only going to get to the Tosis later. The quotes there Rabbi Natan, Amen Chesem and Aleph. That big fat Tosis quotes there Rabbi Natan. But nine gedolim and one katan is mitzarev to a minyan. That's only for mezumin. That's only for Dabisha Bigdusha, but not for Yoharik Bal Yavor. Okay. So even though the requirement for a minyan for Dabisha Bigdusha is only with the Rabbana, but if you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'fnei Asar, it probably is a Kiyum Derais. So probably it's a Kiyum Derais if you praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Shloish as opposed to Shnaim or Echot. Also a Kiyum Derais. Okay. So the Gemara learns that either from Gadol Hashem Iti, one person is speaking to two, or Kishem Hashem Ekro Havu, Godel Elokeinu Havu is one is speaking to two. So you see the three people is a rabbim, even though it's not a sara, it's an added kiyum and shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shevach be-rabbim. Okay. So that we covered already. That was negeya to the parish. Then the Gemara goes off on a side topic. Someone says a bracha, so it's a mitzvah to answer amen. How do you know there's a mitzvah to answer amen? So the Gemara learns it out from the same pasuk. When I praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should chime in by answering amen. So since the pasuk uses the word yachtov, so yachtov has connotation that you shouldn't scream amen louder than the one who says the bracha. A lot of times people do scream louder. So the Gemara says it's not correct, not proper. He shouldn't scream amen louder than the one who says the bracha. It says yachtov. Then the Gemara has another drasha. Amar Rav Shimon ben Pazim, in Ein Shein HaMetargim, Bizman HaTalmud, from the days of Ezra, it says in Nehemiah chapter Ches, when they opened up the second Beis HaMikdash, they started high holiday services on Rosh Hashanah. There were 2 days Rosh Hashanah, it says, in the temple, 2 days Rosh Hashanah, Beis HaMikdash. And the first day Rosh Hashanah, Ezra got the first Aliyah, he was a Kohen, he said, Baruch Hu Hashem HaMvorech, and they had Kriyas HaTorah exactly the way we observe it today. So it says that they learned Kriyas HaTorah. The whole Kriyas HaTorah as we have today is patterned after the description in Nehemiah chapter Ches. So it says there that they read the Torah Meforosh V'Sum Seichel. Ma'azim Meforosh V'Sum Seichel. So the Gemara says they read it with trup, because when you read with trup, you give the right inflection at the right time, so the trup enhances the understanding of the Kriyas HaTorah. Number one. And then number two, they had a Meturgamon who was translating into Aramaic. He was saying over Targumunculus. So the Gemara has a din regarding the Meturgamon. Today, unfortunately, nobody understands Targumunculus. So we no longer continue to have the Meturgamon. What are you going to have? Someone's going to say over Unculus, no one's going to understand what he's talking about. Why not have a Meturgamon say it over Hirsch's translation, an art school translation? So we're afraid to do that. The original Takana was to say Targumunculus. And we're not so convinced even with the art scroller, with Hirsch, that it's as good as Targum Unculus. Okay, so we don't do Targum anymore. there were still communities, I don't know if they have it anymore, there were still communities years ago in the Middle East, but they used to have a Meturgman. One of the travelers wrote, I forgot, one of the travelers in the 1900s wrote that he traveled to Morocco or something, one of the Arab countries, and the Jews were reading Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos. The Kriyas HaTorah took 3 hours. The Parshas HaShavua, because the Baal Kori laying pasuk by pasuk, and the Meturgamon was saying over the Targum that he was enhancing it, he was embellishing, he was giving a long shiur. The Kriyas HaTorah itself took 3 hours. So it was Mana Gemara, they used to have a Meturgamon, I don't know if it took 3 hours, but they had a Meturgamon, said Targum Unculus. So the Gemara learns that adins along the lines, not at all identical. Just like you're not supposed to answer amen louder than the one who says the bracha based on the word yachtov and ramash ma yachtov, so too amash ma pazi minayin. How do we know shein hametag mashel hagbil kol yosem and akori? The kori is the balkori who's lining the psukim, and the meturgamon is saying over the targum unkelus. So the meturgamon is not supposed to speak louder than the balkori. If the meturgamon feels compelled to speak very loud because there's a big crowd, so you have to get a balkori who's going to scream loud in order that the meturgamon will not be screaming louder than him. How do you know that he's not supposed to say shenema Moshe yidaber ve'elikim yanenu b'ko? What does that mean? Moshe yidaber. What was going on? The Rebbeinu Shlomo was proclaiming the Aseres HaDibros. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying over to Bnei Yisrael what the Aseres HaDibros was. Moshe yidaber ve'elikim yanenu b'ko. How do you translate the words? The Rebbeinu Shalom answered him b'kol. What does that mean? The Rebbeinu Shalom spoke first. Anochi Hashem Elokecha Da Moshe Rabbeinu said it over after the Rebbeinu Shalom. What do you mean? V'halikim yanenu b'kol. So the Gemara asks, Ein tam alam, what does the word b'kol mean? She say, V'halikim yanenu. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke, and the Rebbeinu Shalom followed. He spoke after him, but it's out of order. She say, the Rebbeinu Shalom spoke first, then Moshe Rabbeinu said. Then Rebbeinu Shalom said the second of the Aseres HaDibros. Moshe Rabbeinu said the second over. He said over the second of the Aseres. What does it mean? Moshe Yidaber first, or Helakim afterwards? Yanenu Bikol. And what does the word Bikol mean? Shein Tamalame Bikol. The whole pasuk is not understood. Ma Tamalame Bikol. So the answer is it means Bikol Lashon Moshe. What does that mean? So the simple translation sounds like it means that the Rebbeinu Shlom could have a booming, blasting voice. He could scream. He can make such a noise that the whole world will hear. Moshe Rabbeinu is only a human being. He has a limited voice. So since the Rebbeinu Shlom is the Meturgamon, here we're learning out the din. The Meturgamon is not allowed to be Magbi Akole Yosim and Hamavarech, Yosim and Akore. So Moshe Rabbeinu is saying the Kriyas HaTorah, and the Rebbeinu Shlom is saying the Targum. So the Rebbeinu Shlom only said B'kol Lashon Moshe. So Tosfos says, what do you mean? It's fakir. The Rebbeinu Shlom is saying first, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Moshe Rabbeinu is like the Meturgman. He's saying over what the Rebbeinu Shlom said first. So what does it mean? Because the Rebbeinu Shlom doesn't say louder than Moshe, that we have a violation of the din, and a Meturgman Ashoel Hagbi Akol Yosef and Akori Batoira. So that's why, Yanenu B'kol Lashon Moshe. He only says, thank you very much. So the Rebbeinu Shalom only says the Kol Lashon Moshe. Says the whole thing doesn't make any sense. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Meturgman, and the Rebbeinu Shalom is saying the original psukim. So how did the Gemara understand the pasuk? So Tosfos says like this. Avad, the Rebbeinu Shalom is saying Anochi Hashem Elokecha first. He's only telling it to Moshe Rabbeinu because the tzibur are not going to understand what he's saying. We don't understand what it means. The Gemara says that Anochi v'liyel lecha mipi agvur ha-shamayim. The first two dibros be heard directly from Hashem Elokecha, and then the last eight Hakadosh Baruch Hu only spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, and then Moshe Rabbeinu said it over to Bnei Yisrael. Okay, so I guess this is on the last eight, or maybe on the first two also. We're not sure exactly what happened to Har Sinai. But our kopane Moshe Rabbeinu is saying over after the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. So Liyolam, when the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is saying, let's say, the last eight of the Aseres HaDibros, he could whisper it to Moshe Rabbeinu. He's only speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, could have whispered it. He's only interested in Moshe Rabbeinu listening. The Tzibur is not going to understand a word anyway. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to have to scream out loud as the Meturgamah to say over what the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said. So that would have been acceptable if not for the fact that Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi has a din that's not allowed. So that's why it says, even though it wasn't really necessary when the Rebbeinu Shlom spoke to Moshe Rabbeinu, it wasn't necessary that he should say over each one of the last eight of the Aseres HaDibros, let's say. It wasn't necessary to say it in such a loud call. He could have said, because the only one who's listening is Moshe Rabbeinu. But Moshe Rabbeinu is going to say it over as a meturgamon, he's not allowed to say louder than the balkoire. So that's why the Rebbeinu Shlom each time had to say each one of the Aseres Adib is very loud, so Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't be speaking louder than the Rabbanu Shlomo. That's the interpretation. That's how Tosis understands the Gemara's interpretation of the pasuk. But Lekim Yanenu Bikol, Yanenu doesn't mean he followed responsibly, like Chazan Kol, Chazan Kol. Not that first Moshe Rabbeinu said, then the Rabbanu Shlom said. Now first the Rabbanu Shalom said, he's the Balkari. Then Moshe Rabbeinu said, he's the Meturgamon. But who Lekim Yanenu Bikol, when the Rabbanu Shalom initiated each one of the recital of the eight of the Dibros, the last eight, and maybe the first two also, we're not sure exactly what happened there. So when the Rabbanu Shalom initiated, each time he said it loud, Bikol the Shalom Moshe, so Moshe Rabbeinu, and saying it over wouldn't be in violation of this din.
You know, we don't rely on the English translation for the Meturgamon and things. A lot of people
the din of Shnai Mikra Vechat Targum is in Brachas, somewhere in the first parak. So on that Gemara, Tosis has the two pshat, Mechesam and Aleph, the bottom Tosis. Mechesam and Aleph, the bottom Tosis. Yesh Mepharshim, who are din leloaz as balash shalahem, and any translation is acceptable. And Tosis thinks that it's not correct. Only Targum Onkelos is acceptable because the Gemara Megillah Dav Gimel, Amud Aleph, sounds as if they're saying that the Targum Onkelos is an old tradition from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why is it known as Targum Onkelos? What does it have to do with Onkelos? Onkelos was in the days of the Tanaim. So the answer is Onkelos was a ger. The Gemara tells the story Onkelos a ger. So when he converted, he had to go to yeshiva to learn in cheder with the little children. So he was learning with little children. So the Rebbe was saying over the Targum Onkelos, which was an old masorif in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, and he was the only adult in the class. So he wrote it down. He wrote it down. So it's known as Targum Onkelos, but it really preceded Onkelos by many generations. So Tosis has the two opinions. Then the Tosis repeats it again. The next Tosis, Hatoras V'Divan. Tosis repeats this Machlokes again. Are you Yotze only with Targum Onkelos? Rashi Shita is the only Yotze with Targum Onkelos. So if you have a pasuk with Targum Onkelos doesn't say a word, doesn't change anything. So Rashi says you got to say the pasuk three times. The third time, first time is Betorish Nine Mikra. The third time is Betorish Onkelos. Onkelos just writes over the pasuk the same way. And Tosis thinks not so.
Why is that any worse than saying the pasuk again? Onkelos is the same thing.
Same thing. So the third time you're saying it, Betorish Targum Onkelos. Targum doesn't have anything to add. So you're saying it Betorish Targum. And Tosis disagrees. Tosis says, whenever the Targum Onkelos has nothing to add, so you should try to find another Targum. Try to dig up a Targum Yerushalmi or something, which does have something to say, and you'll be Yotze. It's better to be Yotze with that. So Tosis goes with the other opinion, that you can be Yotze with other Targumim as well. If you can be Yotze with Targum Yonis and Menazil, which is not Lamosha Misina, it doesn't have the Hashivas of Targum Onkelos as described in Megillah Dav Gimel, then you can be Yotze with Art Scroll and Hirsch also. So that's 2 days in Tosis. To satisfy the Vilna Goyen is quoted as a Sefer Imre Noam on Brachas, written by one of the students of the Vilna Goyen. He wrote over all the Divrei Torah from the Vilna Goyen. So they quote from the Vilna Goyen when they come to that pasuk Hataras V'Divon. So you say the pasuk twice, and then you should say the pasuk a third time to satisfy Rashi's opinion. Rashi says you got to say Dafke Targum Onkelos. Onkelos says nothing, so you read the pasuk a third time. And then you should recite what's printed in Archumish in the place of Targum Onkelos, which is a misrepresentation. And that pasuk Rashi and Tosis say there is Targum Onkelos doesn't change anything; it has exactly the same words. Atoras v'divon v'yaze v'nimra v'elalei esvam and avo v'yom, just names of the cities. So in Archumashim they printed in the space of Targum Onkelos, they put a whole comment that's really from the Targum Yerushalmi; it's not from the Targum Onkelos. So the Goyen says the correct practice should be to satisfy both opinions. So you should say the pasuk three times. The third time, Betorah Targum Onkelos, to satisfy Rashi Shita. And then the fourth time you say it, you should say what's printed b'mokam Targum Onkelos, that's namely Targum Yerushalmi, to satisfy Tosafot Shita. That you can't be yotzeh with other Targumim. And if Onkelos says nothing, you should search out, you should try to find another Targum. Yeah. So this is how Tosis interprets this Gemara. This is a tricky comment the Gemara has. But Lekim Yanenu Bikol, Yanenu doesn't mean the Rabban Shalom is responding to Moshe Rabbeinu. No, it's not a Chazan call. It's a Balkare with a Meturgeman, Balkare but Moshe, but the Rabbanu Shalom is the Balkare. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Meturgeman. So the Rabbanu Shalom each time gave the Kriya Sapsukim in a louder voice so that Moshe Rabbeinu's Targum wouldn't be louder than the Rabbanu Shalom's voice. Even though it wasn't really necessary, Rabbanu Shalom could have given the, recited the Pasuk to Moshe Rabbeinu, the Kol Namoch, because the only one who was paying attention then was Moshe Rabbeinu. But still, since the Meturgum is not allowed to be Magdia Kol louder, so he had no choice. Then the Gemara has Tanya Namihoch Abrais. Ena Matagma Shel Hagdir Kol Yasmin Akoire. Fine. So that corresponds to the member of Rab Shimon Pazit. But then you have the second half of this brayse. Be'im i'efsha le'metargum l'hagbi akolo k'neged ha'kore. What if the Balkari has a booming voice? A small minion, only 10 people. The Balkari, by his nature, screams out loud. And the meturgamon has a very soft voice, but he's okay for the shul. They only have a minion mitzumtzum. So everybody hears the meturgamon. So it's still good. The Balkari can scream as loud as he wants, as long as the Meturgamon is not louder. So the Brisa, the second half of the Brisa adds on another thing that we didn't know until now, that the Meturgamon should be approximately the same as the Balkari. He's not allowed to be louder, but he should not be significantly softer. If the Meturgamon has a soft voice, and the Balkari has a booming, very loud voice, and the Balkari is going to be laying extremely on a very high sound, and the Meturgman is going to be very low, then we would recommend to bring them closer together. Yimayach Hakori Kol LeVikro. We should have the Balkari laying a little softer, a little not so loud. So the Meturgman, it's not just the Meturgman shouldn't say louder, he should say slightly softer. But significantly softer is not proper. It should be approximately the same. Also learned that from the same. Well, the Kimyan then be called the Shal Moshe. Approximately the same. Okay, so that we hadn't done previously. Then the Gemara has the machlokes that we did discuss five times over. Whether Shnayim Shachlu Kachas is Chayovim Lezamen is out of the question. Mishnah says Shloshu Shachlu Kachas. The Shaila of Lishnam Shachlu Kachas, is it a Rishus? Is it an optional thing to make a Mezumen? And not Machlegs Rabbi Rabbi Yechanan. Final Maskon is that they have a Braise. Tani Hamech Lishnam Shachlu Kachas Mitzvah Licholik. That's how we pass in the end. But when the Gemara first starts, so they quote Toshma. So the Gemara quotes Toshma. Going to bring a proof. Shlosh shachl kachas chayovim lezamein, vein rashoim lecholik. Shlosh en shnayim lo. So the Gemara says no. Shlosh shachl kachas is chayovim. It's a chayva. And shnayim, maybe it's a rishus. You can't prove anything from that line in the Mishnah. Okay, good enough. Toshma vaita. Ashamish oyim ashamish al shnayim. No, what do they quote from this Mishnah? Shlosh shach lukachas chayovim lezamein. Oh, the next line. The first line, it says chayovim lezamein, that's the same as the first line in the Perek. So the Gemara says chayovim lezamein. Three is a chayva, and two, you can't tell whether it's a rishus or a chayva. But the next line, ve'ein rashoim lecholik. Ve'ein rashoim lecholik. So the Gemara is asking why. Why is ein rashoim lecholik? If two people have the option of benching mezumen, so why can't they split? Let the two bench mezumah together, and there won't be any problem. So the Gemara answers, no, shani hasam the kabbalu bechayv meikor. Since they were three sitting together, and they were obligated to recite the bichas hamazon shal chiyuv, and then they're gonna chisel it down to two. It's gonna be a rishu. So that's not proper. You had the option of fulfilling a mitzvah chiyuvis, and now you're just watering it down to become a mitzvah rishus. That's not right. Like the Gemara says, God la mitzvah v'yos and mishen mitzvah v'yos. It says better to recite a mezumen b'taras chiv than to recite a mezumen b'taras rishus. Yeah. What was the Gemara's proof from which line in the Mishnah? Because it says ve'ein rashayim lecholik. So the Gemara's question was, why is ein rashayim lecholik? But if they'll split up, the two will have a mezumin anyway. So Taisa said, what kind of a silly question is that? If the two will go on their own and bench mezumin, so they'll leave the third one without any mezumin. So the third one will be missing a mezumin. So what was the Gemara's diuk from the Mishnah? So Taisa says, the diuk was not so much from that first line in the Mishnah, the diuk was from this next line in the Mishnah. And Taisa says, the third line from the bottom of the bottom Taisa, third line from the end, and they write, V'havi kemo v'chulei. It's as if it would say in the Gemara v'chulei. It doesn't say v'chulei. It says, Shlosh l'achachas chayob nazayim, en Hashem l'cholek, en Hashem l'cholek. So it should really say v'chulei over here. It should really say v'chulei. Why? Because they rise not so much from this line, they rise from the next line in the Mishnah. Mishnah says, if four people ate together, ein rashayim lecholik. Why is four people ein rashayim lecholik? Four, five ein rashayim lecholik. Six are rashayim lecholik. They can have three and they'll have three. They can make two. If they want, they can make one mezuman all six together. If they want, they can make two separate benching the mezuman. But if you have four or five people, ein rashayim lecholik. So the question is, why not? Let them split up to two groups of two each, two and two, and each group will bench mezuman. That was the Gemara's kasha. It says four and five, ein rashayim lecholek. So don't you see that there isn't even an option? It isn't even a reshus to have shnaim shoch lukachas to bench mezuman. So Gemara answers no. Since they were nitztar for yachet, four or five women nitztar for yachet to a mezuman shal chayvo, so you're not allowed to lower it to a mezuman shal reshus. So this is really a big machlekes all over Shas. A historical issue. When you have a line, the Gemara quotes a line from the Mishnah, and they want to bring out an idea. And the Gemara's from that line that they quoted doesn't prove a thing, but the next line it proves something. So does it have to say bechulei in the Gemara? Or do you say no? Havi Gemashi kasa bechulei, even if it doesn't say bechulei. So this is Taisus in the Balamor having a few places in Shas. A historical shine. Very often the Gemara will quote one line and they really meant the next line. So a lot of times, some of the Rishonim say there's a misprint in the Gemara, should say v'chulei. And the other say, it's a nishke misprint. It's good the way it says. They meant to refer, hey, what about that Mishnah over there? It meant v'chulei. They don't have to say v'chulei. Self-understood. So Taisa writes, havi kemo v'chulei. As if it would say v'chulei. It's self-understood. So then the Gemara says, toshma. Another raya on this issue, whether shnaim shochlu is a rishus l'cholik. Hasham shayim misham shal shnaim. What's the din? There's a din in the Chumash, loy sigzol. You're not allowed to steal someone else's property. What happens if there's a guy invites me to his home and he puts food on the table and he says, please eat. So he gave me a rishus, it's only sigzol. What if he invites me to his home and he puts food on the table and doesn't say? He washes until the time, we all wash and we sit down. So that's an umdin in the muchach. He invited me to his home, he puts food on the table. So it's self-understood, he doesn't have to say. What if we're such good friends That's an umdar in the muchach. Everybody knows that they would certainly want me to eat. So if you have an umdar in the muchach, so it takes off the isig zela. I'll be pashtas, takes off the isig zela. So the Gemara says, if two people are eating together in a restaurant, whatever, and I have a shamish who's serving them, a guy let's say in a private home, and I have a butler who serves all the meals, so if two people are eating together, if there would have been a third one who would have been eating bread with them, they would have had a mezuman. If they only have two, there's no mezuman. So it's self-understood that the balabas is authorizing the shamish, the owner of the home is authorizing the butler, a Jewish butler, obviously. Jewish butler, religious guy, he's going to bench. So he's authorizing him. It's self-understood, even though he doesn't say a word. He doesn't put food down in front of him. He says, please serve us a meal for the two of us. And he doesn't say, and you have a bite of bread too, so you'll help us make a mezuman. But self-understood religious people like to have a mezuman. So since it's self-understood, the shamish is even though they didn't say explicitly, they didn't say a word about giving him permission to eat, it's self-understood that they would want to have him as mezuman. But the butler is serving the meal for three people, so they have him as mezuman already, so they don't need him. So then it's not self-understood. Unless they'll give him explicit permission. Why is it self-understood that they want to have a mezuman, so they need him for the third one? But if two people can bench mezuman, so they're going to bench mezuman without him. So who needs him? And for the Gemara, no. Shani Hasam, the Nichalahu, the Mikvah Lahu B'Chov. No, it's also two people, there's only an optional mezuman. If you have three, it would be a Chayva. It would be a mezuman Shal Chayva. So it's self-understood that we want him to eat in order to make a mezuman Shal Chayva. Okay. Then the next Gemara we did discuss. Nashim Mishamnes Liatzman. The Gemara thought was only a Rishus. The Habamina Gemara clearly was. Nashim Mishamnes Liatzman was a Rishus. And this is what motivates, this is what prompts the Gemara to say, you see that there is such a thing as Rishus. A full Rabbim, it's not really a Tzibur. Tzibur, you would say, on 10 people, bench basor. The bench b'shloshe, you call it a chabure, a rabbim, a shus, a rabbim, is 3 people, so 3. So the Gemara says, if you would have 3 men, that would be a chayva. You have 3 women, so that's not really a rabbim, but it's a shtika like a chotzi shiur of a rabbim, so it's a rishus of bench mezumen. So if you see that 3 women are a chotzi shiur of rabbim, so it's a rishus to bench mezumen, so 2 men is also a chotzi shiur of a rabbim. 3 women is the same as 3 men. That's the Gemara's Loshon. 100 women is the same as 2 men. Ketrei Gabri Dam. It's a chotzi shiur of a rabbim. So just like you see that if you have 100 women, there's a rishus to bench mezumen, so it should be by 2 men, it should be a rishus to bench mezumen. The Gemara says, no, shiny hasen dikadei, sof kol sof, bottom line, you have 3 people over there. It's not a riot. So that's the shaila. Once you get to, in the havamin of the Gemara, it's clear that they assume nashim mezamnes liatzman is only a rishus. The shaila is, once you get to the maskana, the Gemara rejects that. The Gemara thought originally, if 3 women is a rishus, 3 men the same as 2 men, it's a chotzi shiur v'rabim, so that should also be rishus. Once the Gemara breaks down that equation, and they say perhaps 2 men is not even a rishus, but 3 men can bench mezumah, and maybe it's a chayva, so that's the machloikis. So Rashi and Taisa think even lefi maskana that it's only rishus. And the Vilna Gaon paskens like the Rosh, who thinks that no, that lefi maskana comes out that it's a chayva. That's what we spoke about yesterday. The Rambam perhaps says that the women can constitute a mezuman, but they can't bench b'shem, b'asorah. So the Kesem Mishnah learned, because the Rambam thinks that it's a dovish b'kedusha, need asorah anoshim, to the exclusion of noshim. So we pointed out there's a stirim in Eben, Kesem Mishnah, and the same halacha. The Rambam says, the ketanim, I'm mitzarfim to mezuman, both shloisha and asorah. And the Kesem Mishnah says, but the Rambam doesn't hold like the Rabbeinu Tam, that one cotton could be mitzarf to a minyan to say dovish b'kedusha. The Rama holds only a din by bench mezumen. So if the Rama holds by dovish b'kedusha, 9 gedolim and 1 cotton is not a minyan. So how is it good by benching basaras? Obviously, he thinks benching basaras is not a dovish b'kedusha. So what does he say, that noshim can't bench basaras because it's a dovish b'kedusha? That's tirim in a ben, the case of Mishnah, on the same aloha. They're both on the same aloha in the Rama. So we suggested an alternate way to read the Rama. Maybe the Rama means to say that the bench b'shloisha, maybe the Rama holds like Rashi and Tosis, not like the Rosh. The women is a rishus from the beginning to the end. It doesn't change in the maskan. Maskan is also that it's a rishus. But the bench b'asora, to mention Shem Hashem, either you mechuyev or you don't say it all Shem Hashem. There's no optional mezuman b'asora. That's what we suggested yesterday. We'll have to learn more Gemaras to see if it's correct.
I
don't know, when you say benching mezumen is minatora, I don't know if it means that the chiyuv to bench mezumen is minatora. It means that the kiyum, if you bench mezumen b'shloisha, there's a kiyum minatora. I don't know if it means that the chiyuv is minatora. That I'm not sure. Even if you should assume mezumen is minatora, it means it's considered a bracha minatora. Like Hazanus HaKol is a bracha minatora. Alaretz Malamazan is a bracha minatora. So Baruch Shechan Mishlab Tuvachayin is also a bracha minatora, not just a bracha minatora. But it doesn't necessarily mean that the obligation to recite it is minatur. Fine. So the Gemara says that 3 women is better than 2 men. If that's the answer, so this is the problem. What do you mean, ihachi? Ihachi is usually a technical term in Talmudic terminology, Talmudic language. That means like this: you had a pshat before, according to the pshat before, everything is fine. But now you rejected the pshat, you gave a different interpretation. E, hachi, according to your interpretation, now you're going to be stuck with a kasha. If you would have learned pshat differently, there wouldn't have been a kasha. So Tesis is over here, loig asinid, e, hachi. We don't understand the sefer anyway. However you slice it, we don't understand the sefer. Why is noshim avonim together, not mezamnos?
The question is strong enough. Says specifically, the Gemara says, In that manner, that it was to the question before, the last flash is much stronger.
Okay. Okay. Could be. Stronger kash. So what is the Gemara answer? The special reason, Mishum Priestess. Okay. Good. Then the Gemara says, who holds which way? We said it's a machlekes, Rabbi Yechon, we didn't identify who holds which way. Rav lived in Bavel, Rabbi Yechonah lived in Eretz Yisrael. Originally, Rav and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechonah, they all lived in Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Chiya. They all lived in Eretz Yisrael. They all learned by Rabbi Yudah Anasi. And then some of them went to Chutz Lortz in order to establish the Shivas, and Rabbi Yechonah stayed behind. So the Gemara quoted Machlekes Rabbi Yechon. They didn't say who holds which way. The Gemara is trying to identify which Amora holds which Shita. So the Gemara says, maybe Tistayim, can you prove conclusively the Rab the Amor Ratzah the Zaman Emzam? Can you prove that Rab is the one who says that Shnaim Shiratzah the Zaman Emzam? Why? Because Rab is quoted as having said, Amor Mishlosh Shachachachas, Yotzech Amem Lashu Karm Lam Zam Namalav. You can whistle to him and tell him we want you to minstarf to Zimun. And we learned the din yesterday, this, the way it says in our Gemara, the Gersa that we have, you can be mitzarf him to Zimun where he is. He doesn't have to come back. If you want to bench Basara and the 10th fellow is over there, you have to insist that he should come back. We should all sit together. Why is that? Because came the boy Lat Kurishem Shemaim Batz Masala Barachar. It's not the Archaz to mention Elakenu unless you have a whole minion, unless you have 10 people together. But if you're just saying a plain mezuman of 3, not 10, so you came in mitzarif him to the zimun, even though he's outside. That's the way it says in our girsa. The ra'o crossed out the whole girsa. We discussed yesterday. The ra'o says even to bench b'shloisha, you require that he has to come back. The bench basar is not even going to help if he comes back. The bench b'shloisha, it'll help if he comes back, provided it didn't go too far. If he went so far away, that is out of our... He can't hear if we talk to him. He went a block away, and even if we scream, he's not going to hear. The Nahum Zuman is batal mevutal, even if he comes back, it's not going to help. But if he went away a little bit, he walked a little bit out of the house, and if we would scream to him, he would hear, so then he'll still be mitzarf to Zimun if he comes back. And to bench Basara, even that wouldn't help. Even if he's going to come back, it wouldn't help. And the rest of the Gemara, the way we have in our gear, so he crosses out, he says it doesn't make any sense. Yeah. According to the Raya's Girsa, in
order
to kill a Mizuman of 10, how far does he have to walk? Just leave the room? Or do what's considered a hesek in the middle of the meal, meaning leave the house? But
Nichedu, Nichedu, and if he has Kabbalah, if he starts, okay, if he leaves, he just will have Mizuman of 10. Mm-hmm. Very good question. I don't know.
We don't
pass
like the
Raya,
because we don't have that
Girsa.
So
we'll
never know the truth.
It'll probably depend on whether it's a Devish Vitusha or not. If I was the same Allah, it's a Devish Vitusha. In a different room,
No, but he's going to be there at the time of the
Mizuman.
If he leaves beforehand,
it kills the Mizuman. Yeah. So you're suggesting since he goes out and now they can't do the Dovish Bikdushas, even if he comes back, it's not going to help. Even though it's Nicheda Lecheda Bosa Bais. But he says, as far as eating is concerned, Nicheda Lecheda Bosa Bais is not a Shina Makam even. I don't know. What's the Lashon HaGemar? Yotza Lachutz? Lashuk? Yasechem Lashuk? Maybe Takan means only Chutz Labayis. I don't know. Maybe Mecher Lecher Bos Bayis would be good. Not a Shinim. I don't know. It's a good question. Anyway, we don't pass like the Ra'o. He crossed that. He says, there's an incorrect Girsa in the Gemara. He's screaming. But that's what it says in our Gemara. So we don't have his Girsa totally not. So we don't follow his sheet. So the way we understand, what does the Gemara say, the distinction between 3 and 10? But if you want to bench Mizuman with 10, even if you went a mile away, he drove away to New Jersey and he drives back in the middle of the meal. It's also, you'll still be mitzurf to Zimun, provided they're all sitting together. And to bench Bishloisha, you don't even need Bishas, bench, and Mizuman, that all three should be in the same room. As long as the two are here and the third guy can hear us and he can answer. Here the Rishonim say, what's the Lashon HaGemara? Let's go slowly. Okay. So the Gemara says, time of the Korin law, the only time you have a mezuman is the two people who remain behind can whistle and call the third guy who went out, Lashuk, and he'll hear us. So he can participate in the mezuman even though he's outside. And what if he can't hear us? It sounds like there is no mezuman. Let the two people who remain behind make their own mezuman. So don't you see the Shnaim Shachlu? There isn't even an optional mezuman. Halo Korin law, but if they can't call him, He's not going to answer, then there's no mezumin. Why not? Let it be shnayim shochel. Let the two make mezumin. No, since originally it was shlosha shochel kachas, and one guy went away, so you had the opportunity to have a mezumin b'chayva, a mitzvah v'yosis. So you don't want to water it down and only have an ein mitzvah v'yosis. You don't want to do a mezumin of rishus, since it's possible to do a mezumin chayva, so do it. So we thought originally to stymie the Rav who the Amar Ratzon Mezamen Ein Mezamen. So we're going to prove that Rav is the one who says that it's not optional from this memory, that he says you got to get the third guy to participate in the Mezumen. If you don't get him to participate, there is no Mezumen. Mar said Rav never said that. Maybe he said you should try to get the third guy to make a Mezumen Shal Chayva rather than make a Mezumen Shal Vashut. You can't see one way or the other what Rav said. Elik Mar says, no, we're going to prove conclusively Fakir. This time the Rabbi Yechon of the Amar Batzim Zan Eim Zan. I have a proof that Rabbi Yechon is the one who says no. Why? The Amar Rabba Babachon Amar Rabbi Yechonon, he says in the name Rabbi Yechonon, Shnam Shoch Luka Achas, Ech Mem Yoitze Bibirchas Chaveiro. If one will bench, the other one can be Yoitze. What does it mean? Ve'habi Nambo, and we ask that question, see, we'll never know what the real answer is. Rabba Babachon came from Eretz Yisrael and says over something named Rabbi Yechonon. We're not there. We don't hear Rabbi Yechonon talking. He's telling us over what he heard from Rabbi Yechon. And he wasn't such a good explainer either. So he said over all the shtikla Torah from Rabbi Yechon, like when the Baal Shem Tov passed away. So the Talmidim and the Baal Shem Tov were going all over telling over stories and Vertlach from the Baal Shem Tov. And the people who heard it had to break their heads to figure out what's the moral of the story and what's the result. So here also, this Rabbi Baba Hon, comes to Bavel, says over Avod from Rabbi Yechon, and he flies back to Eretz Yisrael. So we have to break our heads to figure out what's he driving at. The Havinim, when we asked Akasha, what is he driving at? My Kamash Malon, what is he telling me? That one is going to bench and the other one is going to be Yotze? Echemem Yotze bebirchas chaveiro. What's the Chiddush? Is he telling me that if you say Amen, you're Yotze? Children know that then, if you say Amen, you're Yotze. Must be telling me the Chiddush even if you didn't say Amen. So Gemara said, that's also a din that we know. That's a Braisa. Shom Avaloi Ona Amen is also Yotze. Shomei Akioina, that was a question in Sukkah Lamed Ches. Whether only ona amen kol ha'ana amen kil ha'itzi bracha mitpiv domi or afal pisha loy ona amen kol ha'shameya ki'oine. One who listens, pays attention to the Kiddush and Abdullah, to the benching, is as if he had said amen. If he would have said amen, it would have been kil ha'itzi bracha mitpiv domi. So the Gemara says, is that what he's telling us? Is he telling me that if one person benches and the other one listens and says amen, is yoytze? That's the din of amen and kol tarukula. Is he telling me, is Rabbi Yechonon, Rabbi Bavachana tells name Rabbi Yechonon, that even if he didn't say Amen is Yotze, Shamei HaKoina, that we know is a Brais also. It was a question in Sukkah Lamed Ches, and the Gemara was poshed it, that Shoma Avala Onam is also Yotze. So the answer must be, V'yomer Abzer Elam Shem Bichas Hazim and Beinem. That's what he meant to say. Shnaim Shach Lukachas, Echem Hem Yotze Bebichas Chaveiro. There is not a din of benching Mizuman. There's no din of benching Mizuman. So the Gemara says, Tistayin. That's the pshat. You've just proven that must be what Rabbi Yechonon is driving at. Echad yaitze bibirchas chaveiro. If you say Kiddush and I listen to Shemei Koine, so it's considered as if I said the bracha also. If there would have been a mezumen, it's not that Echad yaitze bibirchas chaveiro. The chaveiro offers the bracha on behalf of the whole chabura. But Rabbi Yechonon didn't say that. It sounds like he's saying it's a regular din of Shemei HaKoina, the regular dinim. So he's saying that there's no mezumin. So that thing Gemara says, Tistayim, that's a proof. You see, Rabbi Yechonon is the one who said there's no mezumin, and that's how we paskin. Whenever there's machlek, Rabbi Yechonon, halachki Rabbi Yechonon, and here for sure we paskin like that, because it's a brisa. Gemara's going to quote the brisa soon. Omele Rabbi Bravuna Leravuna Voharabonim Dosim in Marov, but there were other Tamidim. There were other students and came from Marov is Eretz Yisrael. They came to Bavel. Bavel is to the east of Eretz Yisrael. Amri, and they said, they said that it's optional if you have Shnam Shachel. It's optional to bench Mezumin. Who did they hear it from? Must have heard it from Rabbi Yechonon. Rab lived in Bavel. Rab didn't live in Rabbi Yechonon. So Rab didn't live in Eretz Yisrael. So they must have heard it from Rabbi Yechonon. My Lab Dishmeluhum Rabbi Yechonon. So you see, Rabbi Yechonon is the one who holds that it is optional to shnayim shoch l'kachas. It's optional to mention mezumin. You just proved tistayim. You just proved conclusively. Rabbi Yechonon is the one who says she'ein zimun beinem. And for the Gemara Loi, these students that came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel and said over that you may recite birchas hamazon b'mezuman b'shnayim. It's optional. Every gemara d'shmil l'mirav mekami d'nachas lebava. They heard this word from Rav years ago before Rav went down to Bava, but not that they heard it from Rabbi Yechon. Rabbi Yechon lives at the present time in Eretz Yisrael. When they were telling over, Rabbi Yechon was still there. And Rav, at that time, lived in Bavla, but he originally learned in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Guf Amar Rav Dimi Ba Yosef, Amar Rav Shosh, Al-Kach, Siyasem, Amar Rav Shuk, Kar Mam Zam, Amar Rav Bai, Behud Kar Levioni. Only if he answers, yes. So the Rishonim say, if you have three people eating together, so the Gemara says, let's say two of them want a bench. So the Gemara says later, the Derech Eretz dictates, take a look, the next two dots. If three people ate together and they didn't all finish eating yet, and one of them wants to leave, one of them wants to bench mezuman and leave, so the other two mechuyev to pause in the middle of their meal on behalf of the one to enable him to bench mezuman. So he says shlosh shachol ka'achas echad mafsik v'shnayim ein shnayim mafsikin le'echad. The two are not mechuyev to stop their meal in order to help out the third guy. If they want to, that's beautiful. If they want to go to Fnim Shos Adin, that's wonderful. But if you have two finished eating and one is still eating, so the one, the Derech Eretz dictates that the one should be mafsik for the two. Let's say the fellow, the one, does not want to be mafsik for the two. So the din is they can bench mezuman with him even though he's in the middle of munching a sandwich. They can say, we'll ask you please to stop eating for a moment, pause eating for a moment. We want to bench mezuman, and you have to wait to continue to eat till the end of Azanas HaKol. That's going to be the Gemara in the next daf. Arechem bichas hazimun. If a person is mafsik in the middle, that's how Tosis learns. A person is mafsik in the middle of the meal in order to bench mezuman. So how long does he have to pause from eating before he continues to eat? So we pass until the end of Azanas HaKol. So let's say you have three, and they all ate together, and one continues to eat, and the other two say, do us a favor, we're in a rush, we want to bench mezuman. He says, no, he wants to finish eating. So the din is that they come in, so he's, Derech Eretz dictates, he's obligated to be mafsik on behalf of the two. Echad mafsik and shnayim. And what if he doesn't want to be mafsik? So the din is, the Rishonim all say, they can make a mezuman with him, even though he doesn't answer, Baruch Shechan Mishalov Tu V'chayinu. One is going to say, Rabbi Zayin Varech, the other guy's going to answer, Yishem Mishalov Baruch Hu, and the third guy's not going to answer a thing, so it's still good. So the only time Abai says, V'hud Gar Leviyoni, that's, if the two are here and the third guy is not here, he went lashuk. So then the Gemara says, only if he answers. If he doesn't answer, not. But if all three are here, then you don't even require that he should answer. This you have to understand, why should that be so? What kind of a din is that? That if all three are here, it's a good mezuman even if he doesn't answer. But if only two are here and the third one is bashuk, so then it's only a valid mezuman if lemaisa is going to answer b'poel mamish. It's a problem. In this case, since the third one is not here, you require that he should answer b'poel mamish. According to the Ra'oh, that the third one has to come back, it's only a mezuman if he comes back. So what does it say? What does it mean? He came back.
Yeah.
They
could hear.
You have to have run off close enough that
meaning, if he went away so far that he went away so far, then that's what it means. It doesn't mean that sometimes he doesn't have to answer, sometimes he doesn't have to answer. It means how far away did he go? So if he went away so far, the karle v'loyani, it doesn't go on karle baruch shechan mishlov tivuchayinu. Karle means hey yankel, they can call him and he hears them. So if karle v'loyani, if he's still within the distance that he can hear them speaking, if they'll speak aloud, then if he'll come back, he'll be mitzarf. If he went away so far that he can't hear them, then he's not mitzarf, right?
Are you assuming that the guy who left benched already?
No, he didn't bench yet.
So he has to come back.
Ultimately, he's going to have to come back, but we want to bench mezuman now. So he doesn't want to come back now. Yeah.
So is that with phones, is it going to be applicable or not?
According to the probably would not help. I would assume it's not. Doesn't help. Means they can hear the natural voice. Karl Leviani, they can hear him speak naturally. Why should that be the shir? What kind of a funny shir is that? You have a shir dalaramis. You have a shir the same bias. Mecheda lecheda bosa bias. What kind of shir is that? That is within the sound of their voices. I don't know. According to the Ra'wah's interpretation. But we don't accept the Ra'on. Shulchan Aruch, they don't accept that. Kar Leviyani means, in this case, he has to answer Baruch Shalom Mishalav Tuvachayin. If all three are together, then he doesn't have to answer. They quote a story about the Vilna Goyen, that he was once traveling somewhere, and the Vilna Goyen and another religious Jew, and the third one who was eating was not an observant Jew. His Jewish person wasn't observant. So the Vilna Goyen finished eating, so he said, let's bench Mezumin. The third one said, I'm not religious. I don't bench. So the Vilna Goyen said, what do you mean you're not religious? But you're Jewish. We can still be... You're supposed to bench Mezumin. You're supposed to bench Mezumin. You're going to bench Mezumin with you, whether you like it or not. A Jewish person is mitzarf to Zimun, even if he doesn't answer. So the Vilna Goyen said, Rosh Chan Mishlova Tevachayinu, with the other person, that two people bench Mezumin. The third guy was very principled. He refused to answer benching. He refused to bench. So the story goes that later on, the non-observant Jew was so taken by this idea that a religious Jew is always religious. A Jewish person always counts from Zuman, even if he doesn't answer, because Mechuyivtu, that it became a Baal Tshuva. He liked this idea so much, it became a Baal Tshuva. Okay. If it works, you got to use all kinds of gimmicks to get people to become Baal Tshuva. If it works, it works. Okay. It depends how non-religious he is. If he's Oybid Abba Dizor, it's Dina Kinochim. He can't be Mitzarif from Tozim. If he's Mechal Shabbos, Befrayes, it's Dina Kinochim. If he's Mechal Shabbos, Befrayes, he can't be Mitzarif from, yeah.
What about
Tinek Shenishma? Yeah, we assume today. Tinek Shenishma means whatever he does is B'shoigig. So even though it's Mechal Shabbos, Befrayes, that's not called Befrayes. It means B'mezit plus. The mezid square, or the mezid to the third degree, whatever, to the tenth degree. So today we assume that most people are Tinish and Nishbe, can't call them Chal Shabbos Befrayesia. If the majority of all the Jews in New York are not Shomer Shabbos, so you can't say that the one is Machal Shabbos Befrayesia, it's called Befrayesia. Befrayesia means that the mezid, he's Machal Shabbos Bemezid knowingly, and he doesn't care about the fact that he's breaking the discipline in the community. There is no discipline in the community. There is no community. There's no discipline in the community. So there's no din of Mechal Shabbos Befrayesia today. But if you would tap taka, that's what the Rabbanim who lived in Germany write like that. The Binyan Sion writes like that. He lived in Germany. Banky Fettlinger. Then the Chazon Ish lived in Lithuania with a lot of Apikursim. The Minkach lived in Minkach. So they had only religious Jews. So he writes in a Chiba. He says, what are you talking about? No, Mechal Shabbos Befrayesia. What are you talking about? Everybody's Shomer Shabbos except for that Shegit. So he's Mechal Shabbos Befrayesia. If you live in Munkasha, that's correct. If you live in Lithuania, where the overwhelming majority of the people are Maskilim and not Shomer Mitzvahs, so then the Binyan Tzion is right. Different community is going to be different. You have to judge in each case. So let's call Mechal Shabbos Befrayesia. But whoever is Dina Kaplan, let's say an Apikoris is Dina Kaplan. Apikoris is Dina Kaplan. That's a big machlekes. What about Apikoris B'shoigeg? Let's say a guy doesn't believe in God, doesn't believe in Torah Minas Shamayim, but it's B'shoigeg. He was never given a proper education. His parents were not observant, so they never gave him a Jewish education. Doesn't know anything. He was never told anything. So that's a big machlekes, whether Apikoris B'shoigeg is Dina Kaplan or not. Is this a penalty? Apikoris Dina Kakam is a penalty midirabbanon, a knas midirabbanon. So if it's b'shoigeg, it's not fair to penalize him. That's how some Rishonim and Achrayim hold. The Shachan, Simon Beis, and Yeridea has a machlekes Achrayim. Whether Apikoris Dina Kakam is a din deraisa or a din derabbanon. So if you hold it, it's a penalty midirabbanon, so you don't make a penalty if he's b'shoigeg. It's not his fault. Why should we penalize him? But if you hold that it's a real din deraisa, a Jewish person is supposed to have proper hashkafas. So if he's missing one of the yud gimel ikori hamunas, so he's an apikoris. So an apikoris is an incomplete Jew. So if you say it's a description, let's say a non-Jew, Eddie. Let's say Eddie's here. So he wants to bench. We want to bench Mezumin. So it's not his fault. He was born a non-Jew. He's not Jewish, though. So it's not a penalty. We're not penalizing him. He didn't do anything wrong. His parents are not Jewish. He's not Jewish. That's all. So not Jewish is not Jewish, not a penalty. So if you have a Jew who is an apikoris, so some hold apikoris dina kachma is not a penalty, it's a mitzvah. If he doesn't have emunah in the yud gimel ikram, whatever number of ikari hamunah there are. So whoever doesn't believe for one, whatever reason, He's not familiar with the Yud Gimel Karmunah, so it's like a person who was born a non-Jew. He's born a non-Jew, it's not a penalty that is Dina Kakum. He has an Eddie is Mam Shakum, and that Apikoris is Dina Kakum, because he's lacking a full Dina of Yisrael. So that's a Machlekes Achrein, where the Apikoris Dina Kakum is a Din Derais, a Din Derabanan. And the Chidoh, and it's safe around Chulin, and the first pair, the Chidoh has 85 Svarim. So one of his Svarim is a running commentary on the An Yankif. I think it's called Marisayin. Or something like that. I think he has two chiburim on the Anyak. One of them is called Marzain. I forgot the other one. Ein Pesachayim. I think one is called Pesachayim. One is called Marzain. Maybe he has more than two. I have two svarim by the Chido on the Anyak, on the Agaritas. So on the first perik in Chulin, well, I don't know why this is an Agaritas, this is a din. On the first perik in Chulin, when the Gemara talks about Apikoris Dina Kakam and Abed Azar Dina Kakam and so on, so he quotes a Machlokes HaRishonim. He has Kisviyad. Quotes Machlokes HaRishonim, whether this din Apikoris Dina Kakam is a din deraisa, din derabon. So that's a shaila. If it's a din derabon, the Torah's penalty, so if the fellow's an Apikoris B'shegig, it's not fair to penalize him. But if you hold that it's a real din deraisa, it's a mitzius. He doesn't have a, he's lacking an essential to be considered a Jewish person, namely Ikori Hoaimunah. So then he's even B'shegig is also.
So maybe we would say that it does hold like this, according to the Gaon,
that would be a shiva, the Din Daraisa. You know? He needs a full Geras to go over it if he wants to shoot. Yeah, that, well, the Gaonim only talk, the Hasam Sefer writes in the Tshuva, the Gaonim only applied it in a case where the person officially converted out of the religion. He's Tam, he's an Apikoiris, he's a free thinker, Ebed Avodah Zarah, Machal Shabbos Bavasya, they wouldn't say in such a case. That you, no one would say in such a case you have to have Geras. Even with the Rabbanon, you wouldn't say you need Geras. You only require Geras if he officially converted out of the religion. So what do you mean officially converted? It's Lamala V'Lamarit. Pidin is the status of officially converted. So the Pashtus sounds like a Din de Rabbanon. Officially converted to another religion. It doesn't mean a thing. So the Pashtus is that the whole Din from the Ovis de Rabnosen that a Meshumid wants to become Jewish again has to convert. There's only Din de Rabbanon. And then the others, the Goyim hold, no, it's a Din Daraisa, based on that Pasuk in Treyosa, Bashem Bagodu, Kiborim Zorim Yolodu, regarding the Aseres HaShvatim. So the Aseres HaShvatim, they assimilated. And the Kusim also, they had a whole Shita, a whole group of people. So they floated off and they had their own Shita. And if you have a Jew who officially converts to another religion, so that's also a breaking point. So it has a status al-pidin. A Jew converts to another religion, has a status al-pidin. Yeah, the Rogatchover thought that was a joke. He didn't like that Chassam Sefer. He didn't like the Chassam Sefer, that the Chassam Sefer distinguishes between officially converting and not officially converting. This, the Sri Yesh writes up, they had a whole shaila about this. We spoke about it, no? So the Sri Yesh writes up the whole shaila. So he quotes that the Chassam Sefer, when Weinberg, the author of the Sri Yesh, wrote his tshuva that the Rama in Shulchan Aruch says b'choshish for the Shita Sagonim, that if there are two brothers and one converted out of the way from the Jewish religion, so we wouldn't permit him to do the chalitza. We would insist the one who didn't convert has to do the chalitza. And then the Chassam Sefer says that it's only if he converted out of the religion. The whole Shita Sagana wouldn't apply, so the Rogatchover was very upset about this psak of Rav Weinberg. So he never heard of Weinberg. So he said, "What did he dig up Achreinim Fenunta Derer to be ma'agen a woman for no good reason?" So then Weinberg sent back a letter. What do you mean Achreinim Fenunta Derer? I quoted the Ramon Chassam Sefer. What's wrong? It's not Fenunta Derer. He didn't dig up. He didn't have to dig so deep to find the Ramon Shulchan Aruch Eben Ezra Chassam Sefer. The answer is he didn't hold for Chassam Sefer. He didn't hold for the Chassam Sefer. He was a big thinker. The Rogatchover was an original thinker, and he didn't hold from anybody. He used to be mivatel everybody. Mustama, what it means is they probably had a cherem, hakadmarim, not to let the avaryonim daven in the shul. So the Kavod Yom Kippur, they were mat to the chem, they allowed all the avaryonim to come to shul, because the Gemara says increases that a tainis tziba shema mipashi Yisrael ain't no tainis tziba. that the word tzibur, the Velt says tzibur is a rashi tevis al tzadikim beinanim and rishoyim. So you have to have a tainis tzibur. Yom Kippur has to be a tainis tzibur. So you have to have tzadikim beinanim and rishoyim. So if you only have tzadikim, you're not going to have any rishoyim. So it's not a tainis tzibur. So that's the Gemara's lashon. Kol tainis tzibur shema miposhe Yisrael ain't a tainis tzibur. So even though all year long they observed acherim not to allow the avrayonim to daven in shul, but on the lekovet Yom Kippur they were matel acherim. And they encouraged all the avayonim to show up in shul. I think that's what it's assumed to be all about. The Gemara learns it out from the Keteris. The Gemara increases, talks about the Yud Aleph Samamonim of the Keteris. So the Gemara says that Chel Benoz Recho Ra. The other 10 spices have a pleasant aroma. When you burn them, it smells good. Chel Beno has a bad reach. So what he makes it in for? But why did the Rabban Shalom tell us to mix in the chalban? The answer is to show us that even if a guy smells, even if a person is a choyte, he's a balaveris, but if you blend them in together with others who smell good, so that's okay. So that, and that Gemara, there's a famous Maharsha in Chedush Agada. He says that's why the Rabban Shalom told us to have 11 samman, because the apikoris is not mitzarf to the minyan. Chalban is the 11th. You have to have 10 without him. The Minkatcha quotes that Marsha, he holds from that very much, that because he's not misdarf to the minyan. Okay. But still, you got to try and encourage him to come to Shul on Yom Kippur.
Why do we have to say that the apikoris didn't apple is boyish? And if the apikoris didn't apple is with the residents, then it didn't come with it.
Can it be Minat Torah? Yeah, can it be Minat Torah and it's a punishment? Where do we have a mocker? You have to have a mocker to say like that. If it means that a Jew in full standing means a Jew who has proper amunah, and a Jew who lacks amunah, even though he's born to a Jewish mother, he's Jewish, but Dina Ka'akum, he has an incomplete Kedushas Yisrael. So then you can say it's a svara. But if you say it's a penalty, so where does it say in Chumash that you make such a penalty? So it's usually assumed that if it's an einish, that it's only midi rabbanon. And if it's a real din, then there's room to say, you can say it's a svara, then it's a svara deras. Which is a machlekes. That's the Shach and Simen Beis quotes that has a machlekes with the Bach, with the Apikoros, Dina Kapim, is the Raisa, the Rabbon. And the Chidoah, and his commentary on this Gemara, in the first Perek Daf Hei, in Chulin, that Apikoros Shoshachat, Shchitos and Avelos, he quotes a machlekes from Kisveyat, from Rishonim, with the Apikoros, Dina Kapim, is a Din the Raisa, Din the Rabbon. There's a famous Rambam and Ravid. The Rambam writes that one who believes that God has a body is an Apikoros and Dina Kapim. That's the Rambam and Hilchas Tshuva. He lists off different apikursim. So the Ravid complains against the Rambam. How can you say it's Dina Ka'akum? He says there are many people who are more pious than the Rambam, G'dodim and Tzadikim Imenu, more pious people than the Rambam, who are misled by the Agodas, Hamshapshas HaSadas, that were misled by Agadatis and the Gemara, misled by Psukim and Chumash and Tanakh, misled by Agadatis, to believe that God has a body. And Tanakh, he talked about the eyes of God, and the hand of God, and the finger of God, and the legs of God, and the body of God. You keep on, the Midrashim talk about as if God has a body. So that's what the Ravid seems to agree with the Rambam, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not have a body. But he says there are many tzaddikim who are greater and more pious than the Rambam, G'dolim tzaddikim imenu, more pious than the Rambam, who mistakenly thought that the Ribbono Shel'olam has a body based on the misunderstanding of the Agodas. The Agodas HaMashabshah says Hadas. So how can the Rambam say that they have the status of Apikoros Dina Ka'akum? It's not their fault. It's B'shoigeg. They were learning the Tanakh and the Midrashim, and they misunderstood. So Rabbi Hona Rassman quotes in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he commented on the Rambam. Taka Rachmanis. It's Nebuch HaRachmanis on these people, because they misread the Tanakh, they misread the Agodas. But a Nebuch Apikoros is Zecha Apikoros. That if a person is an Apikoros, not due to his own fault. He's an Apikoros B'shoigeg. He misread the whole Tanakh, he misread all the Agadas. So he thought that that's exactly the machlokes, the Rambam and the Rabbi. The Rambam holds an apikoros, b'shoigeg is an apikoros. And the Rabbi holds apikoros, b'shoigeg is not an apikoros. That's a shayla, la halacha, whether we should assume like that. The Chazon Ish poses a kashin. The Gemara says that the Kusim only follow Torah Shebichsav. They never follow Torah Shebal Peh. Most of the time they didn't follow Torah Shebal Peh because they didn't believe that Torah Shebal Peh was Men HaShemayim. So the Gemara says, Kusi Shushachat, can you eat the meat or not? So the Gemara says, the Kusim didn't believe in Lifneva L'Sitei Michshol the way we understand that you're not allowed to cause someone else to violate an Aver. They held that it's Misasek. If they give me food and they tell me it's kosher, it's really treif. So since I thought it's kosher, so whatever you don't know won't hurt you. It's a misasik that doesn't count. It's not an aver. And we hold that misasik b'chalav marais chayv shekeinah. Misasik by eating non-kosher food doesn't. You don't apply the rule of misasik. So the kusim didn't feel any conscience at all. They didn't feel real bad about feeding non-kosher food to other Jews, whether kusim or rabbanim. It didn't make a difference. As far as they're concerned, it's permissible. They took the pasuk kipshut lifnei v'lesitim yichshu. You shouldn't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. But they held that it doesn't have anything to do with causing someone to be nichshol to violate an aver. So the Gemara says that if a kusi has a shech tzebeima and he gives me part of the meat to eat, I better not eat it because it may be nevela, absolute nevela. But if the kusi himself is eating from it and he's not going to eat from nevela, and they used to know hilchas shechita, not that they were amaratz, but they knew hilchas shechita. So if noisen lachotach kezayis basa v'noisen loy, if the kusi himself is eating, so then I can eat also. The fact that he's eating, that's a hechacha, that he knows that it's really kosher, so I can eat as well. So the Chazon Ish and Siman Beis and Yerideya is bothered with the kasha. Usually the Simanim and the Chazon Ish do not necessarily correspond to the Simanim and the Shulchan Aruch. Here happens to be the both Siman Beis. Siman Beis in Yerideya Chalchos Shechita is about a Mechal Shabbos and an Apikoros Shoshachat. And Siman Beis in the Chazon Ish is all about Hilchas Apikoros. He met a lot of apikursim in his lifetime. A lot of his students were apikursim. Chazon Ish, one of his talmidim wrote the whole book about the Chazon Ish, about all the rabbanim that he knew from Europe. That was a time that the people who learned in yeshivas, they were all yotzei the tarbis ro. It was very hard to keep talmidim, or to keep children in a family, to be shomer Shabbos and shomer mitzvah. So the Chazon Ish had a lot to say about apikursim. So he's bothered with this kasha. How can it be that the kusi shushochad b'faneinu, and we were watching him and we know he shechted properly, shechitos ekshera, and if he eats from his own shechita is good, because he wouldn't eat if it would be nevela. In fact, akasha, but the kusim don't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, and says in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchas Tam Yenam, it says if an apikoris handles wine, so just like a nochri of Rabbi Dezora handles wine, asas because of magakum, asas because of the chashash nisuch. So even an apikoros who doesn't worship Abedizor, an apikoros is dina kakam, also asks his wine. So in Mechaber they give you an example of an apikoros, one who doesn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh min HaShemayim. So the Chazon Ish asked the kasha, no, the kusim, none of them believed in Torah Shebal Peh min HaShemayim. So even if he shechts b'faneinu, should be shechitas and nevela, like a nochri sheshochet b'faneinu, of course he should be an apikoros, that's his kasha. So the Chazon Ish has two terutzim on the kasha, one on top of the page, and one on the footnote on the bottom of the page. And Siman Beis and Yeridei. So one teretz he gives is Apikoros b'shoigeg is not dina ka'akum. So the kusim, the original generation, the first generation of kusim, they were yotze the tarbis ro, so they have the din of apikoros dina ka'akum. But we're dealing with the b'nei'im, the later generation, so they were not given a proper Jewish education. So that's apikoros b'shoigeg is not dina ka'akum. That's one answer he gives. Then he gives another answer. No, apikoros b'shoigeg is also dina ka'akum. It's not a penalty midirabbanan, and whenever it's b'shoigeg, there's no, you have no right to penalize it. His second answer is different. He says, when does it say in Shulchan Aruch that one who doesn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh and apikoros dina ka'akum, he has a twist, that's only he doesn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh min HaShemayim, but he observes it anyway, because everybody else observes it, so he observes it. But the kusim are very consistent. They didn't believe in Torah Shebal Peh, so they didn't observe it. So he says, one is consistent, he believes a religion means Men HaShemayim. And he believes Torah Shebichsav was given Men HaShemayim, Torah Shebal Peh was made up by the rabbis. Whatever is made up by the rabbis, he doesn't observe. So he's consistent. So that's not called Akum. But if the person believes that the story of Chanukah never happened, but he's going to bench licht on there, and there is Chanukah anyway because it's a Takana de Rabbana, Takana Sabai Negev in there. Story of Purim never happened. That's what they say that Gratz was a student of Rabbi Hirsch in Frankfurt when he was young. And he went ahead and he became an apikoros later. So he writes in his book that the story of Purim never happened. But Purim used to come to shul and be makbet to sit near the balkar to hear every word of the Mikra Megillah. So they say, the story goes, that on one occasion Rabbi Hirsch asked him, but you wrote in your book that the story of Purim never happened. So what are you so medactic to hear every word? No, it's a takonis chachomim. You have to listen to every word, even though the story never happened. So that the Chazon Ish says, that kind of a person, he's apikoros dina kakum. He doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh Min HaShemayim, and he keeps the mitzvahs anyway. So that's not an understanding of religion. Religion has to be a God-given religion, Torah Min HaShemayim. If he believes the whole Torah is a mistake, there are those who believe the Achrayim misunderstood the Rishonim, and the Rishonim misunderstood the Amoraim, and the Amoraim misunderstood the Tanaim, and the Tanaim misunderstood the Masorah. There was a breakdown every 100 years. There was a breakdown of Masorah, and everything that it says in Shulchan Aruch and everything that we follow today is wrong. But we follow it anyway because that's the halach. So that's what the Chazon Ish says. That's called an apikoros. A person who's observing a religion, which is a man-made religion. That's not a God-given religion. The definition of religion is that it's min hashamayim. But he says the kusim were very consistent people. Whatever they didn't believe in, they wouldn't observe. So that's not called. So they, but they believed in Torah min hashamayim. They believed certain parts of Torah, not min hashamayim. But whatever they believed is min hashamayim, they would observe. So he says, if you're consistent, then you're not dina kakum. The Chavis says one who doesn't believe in Torah Shabbat Peh Min HaShemayim is an apikoros, that's the one who's inconsistent.
For the getter of apikorosis, I mean, is everyone accept, not all the Rishonim, I know, but the posting today is we accept the Yudim Likari and Muna of the Rambam, or is there a flexibility of what do we...
We accept all the Yud Gimel Ikarim Amun of the Rambam. How about we do? Yeah. Some professor published a book. He wanted to show that not everybody agreed with all the Yud Gimel Ikarim. No, not everybody agreed. But the consensus now is like the Yud Gimel Ikarim Amun of the Rambam. Yeah. The consensus certainly is like that. There are always oddball opinions. Look, in the days of the Gemara, there was Hillel, Rabbi Hillel, not the famous Hillel and Shammai, 100 years before the Churban Habayis. There was Rabbi Hillel, one of the Amoraim. So he said, there isn't going to be any person who's going to be Mashiach. There's going to be a period of peace on earth, goodwill towards fellow men. Everybody knows there's going to be such an era. But there won't be a person who's going to be a Mashiach. Shekhar achlu b'mei Yoshio. What is it? I forgot. B'mei Chizkiyo. Shekhar achlu. We lost that. There's no more going to be a person. So the Gemara says that his opinion was not accepted. So the Gemara says, Shor leimari. God should forgive Reb Hillel for saying that, that the consensus is that it's not so. In the days of the Rishonim, there were Rishonim that didn't believe in Bechira Chavshis. They were outvoted. We do believe in Bechira Chavshis. There were Rishonim that didn't believe in Bria Yesh Meyayin. So we're outvoted. We do accept Bria and Rishonim. The Rishonim believed in all kinds of strange things, but the consensus was, like the Rambam, we believe in the Yud Gimel Ikari Hamunah. You don't have to say that anyone, one of the Chassidish Rebbes wrote a tshuva. I think the Divrei Chaim has a tshuva. That if a sheikhet who's an apikoros is shechitas and avela. So if a sheikhet doesn't believe in ha'atzola, he doesn't believe in emanation, that everything in the world is emanation from the essence of God, so he's an apikoros and in shechitas and avela. So to say every idea that the Jewish people believe in is an ikar and amunah, we don't go so far to say a sheikhet doesn't believe in ha'atzola. Is an apikoros. The Yud Gimel Ikari Hamunah, basic. We believe in God, we believe in one God, we believe in Torah Min HaShemayim, we believe in prophecy. Doesn't mean that he has to believe in every single aspect. Not every point of each one of the Ikarim is in itself an Ikari Hamunah. The 13 basic Ikari Hamunah. This is the Shaila. This is 2 days in the Chazon Ish. That's the Shaila, what the Pesach Halacha is. What the Apikoros B'Shogeg is Dina Kakam, and I don't know that there's a Hachro.
But Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesu, we assume it's not
Tanya. Yeah, Mechal Shabbos, usually we say, Dina Kakam is a Mumer, who's Mumer L'Rav Dini HaTorah, a Jew who violates the majority of the mitzvahs that he's aware of. Let's say he doesn't know about too many mitzvahs. He knows Chametz B'Pesach, he knows Kashrus, he knows Shabbos, he knows Yontif, and he violates Roiv of the mitzvahs that he's aware of, so that's Dina Kakam. Do you ever have a case where he violates one Avera and is already Dina Kakam? So the Gemara says, yeah, Ovid Avodah Zarah is Dina Kakam. So that's a machlokes, whether that's their Raisa, their Rabbanan. Or if he's a Mumel Chal Shabbos Befrahesia, that's one Avera, so that's Dina Kakum. So that's Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia, Dina Kakum, that's only if he's Befrahesia means Bemezid, number one. If it's Beshoigeg, he doesn't even know, so that's for sure it's not Befrahesia. But even if it is Bemezid, it means Bemezid, and he knows that he's breaking the discipline in the community. But if the rov of the Jewish community is not the Shomrei Shabbos, he's not breaking the discipline in the community. So that's not called Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia. Befrahesia has to be with a chutzpah.
This man has to have somebody who lives in the Borough Park where right of the community is and it's Mechal Shabbos there. The whole United States, it's not Befrahesia.
And he himself has to... And he understands what's doing in Borough Park, and he realizes what's going on. That could be Befrahesia. That would be Befrahesia, yeah. Unless he doesn't fully appreciate what's going on in Borough Park. He's a Jew from Wyoming, and he fell into Borough Park and doesn't know what's going on there. But if it's from Borough Park, he knows that all the people are Shomrei Shabbos, and he's Mechal Shabbos Befrahesia. So that would be Befrahesia. Okay. So then the Gemara made the distinction between 3 and 10. Ulamar Nela Bishlosha. You can be Mitzarf and Lizim the way we read the Gemara. Leave out the Ra'o. Ra'o says, Geronim Mitzarf Lishlosha if he went away and he come back. But Basar, even if he goes away and he comes back, you can't be Mitzarf. So we don't pass like that. We pass if he comes back, you have all the 10 people are here. They are Mitzurah. If we talk, can you be Mitzarf 2 here and 1 over there? They're not B'mai Merechot. So Korileva Ani. If he answers where he is, he answers to us, then it's mitztaref to the zimun of shloshim, and not mitztaref to the zimun of asora. Adenais, he has to come and sit down together. Pregnant more maskva abashi, shouldn't it be? Adarabi ipcham mitztaref, shouldn't it? If anything, shouldn't I make a distinction in the opposite direction? If you have a crowd of 9, a lot of times you can't really tell whether they have 9 or 10. So if you have 9 and the 10th guy is somewhere else, half a block away, the Kar Livyoni, maybe that would be good because Tisha sometimes near Kasara. But if you only have 2 as opposed to 3, it's a dead giveaway. It's obvious that you don't have 3. So maybe one should distinguish in the reverse direction. Well, it says, no, he's wrong. Ravashi is wrong. There's a difference in halacha between Ben Shemizum and Basar, Ben Shemizum and Bishloisha. Bishloisha, even if that's what we said yesterday, Bishloisha, there's such a thing as a Rishus. Even though it's not, you're not Yotze, the Choyva Mistam is if you're benching together the Mamish or B'mai Menecha, but if you have 2 over here and 1 over there, so then it's really a Rishus. More correct, the guy should come back. But there is, it would be a bench Mezuman of a Rishus. But Basara, there's no such thing as benching Belakenu, the Rishus. Kevin the boy, Lakuri Shem Shemai, Bats Masala Baraha, you have to have all 10 together. You can't have an optional benching Mezuman Basara. Then the Gemara speaks about Derech Eretz. Amar Abay Naktinon. We have an old tradition, Naktinon. We have an old Masorah. Shnaim Shach, Lukachas Mitzvah. Oh, Mitzvah Lecholik Tanya Lamioch. That's how we paskin. Sure, that we learned already. Echad Seifer, Echad Bur, you revert back to the Din Deraisa that we learned. Okay. Amar Ravis, a Ravis says the Derech Eretz in you. Homil Samrita Anovi, Tamar Mishmeh, the Rabzeira Kabasi. He was all excited. I said it on my own, and they said the name of Rabzeira. The following, Shlosh Shlach Kachas, Echad Mafsik, Lishnaim Mishnaim Masikin Lechon. The Eretz dictates that if the 2 of them finished eating, they want to bench Mezuman, the 3rd one has to pause in order to answer Mezuman. But Shnayim, Anat Mechayiv, the Eretz does not require of 2 that they should be Mafsik for the 1. Feng Markashe Beloi, is that so? That the Hadacha does not require, the Eretz does not require that the 2 should be Mafsik for the 1. There's a famous story, Rapapa, Apsik Leilaba, Mar Brei, Ihu Bechad. Rapop and another person were mafsik. They paused in the middle of the meal in order to enable his son, Abba Mar Bre, in order to enable Rapop's son to bench Mezuman. And Moshe, Rapop, if Nimishua said, then who the other? It wasn't Mechuyiv too. Mechuyiv is only the 1 has to be mafsik for the 2, but the 2 are not Mechuyiv to be mafsik for the 1. Nehilchas Derech Eretz, okay. The other thing, Mar tells a story. There were 3 Talmidei Chachamim. Karche Rifta Bahari Hadari, all ate together. Lahavi Bulchad, Lahavi Mufleg Mechabri Livruch Lahum. They all got 99s on the exam. Sure. There wasn't one who was clearly more learned than the other. If there would have been one who's more clearly more learned than the other, so they understand his benching is better. He's a more pious individual. He's a more learned individual. So they would understand that there's an idea to bench Mezuman. But if we're all equal and level of learning in Yerushalayim, and Dikta and Shmir Samitz is all the same thing. So they had this Shaila. Amri, they thought to themselves, Hadisnan Shlosh, Shachachachachayab, Lizamen, three people, you have a Mizum and Hanami, the Hechadika, Adam Godol. If one of them is greater than the other two, so it'll pay you off. He should bench Mizumin and we should be Yoitzer with his bench. But if we're all on the same level of religiosity, so what do you gain by having one bench and the other two answer? Let each one bench on his own. No one is greater in Yerushalayim than anybody else. So in such a case, wouldn't it make more sense, Chilik Baruchas Adif? It would make more sense, perhaps, that each one should bench on his own. So that's what they decided. They didn't have a kid to Shulchan Aruch to look up the din. So they decided like that. They went ahead, each one benched on his own. Baruch Hinnish Hinnish Lenapshe. Each one benched on his own. Also, the Kama de Mirema, so they came to the Rebbe and they asked them, Amalu, they brach itzasim, they zim, alo itzasim. You're yetzer the benching, you're not yetzer the mizum. Either he tamed the head, then his amen. Maybe we should allow them to bench a second time in order to be yetzer the din of benching mizumen. Sometimes we allow a person to bench a second time even though he was yetzer benching the first time. We said, the Gemara has later, a person benches on Shabbos and Yontif, and if he gets the Sefer Tzei, if he gets Yalav Yavoy. So the Gemara says, on Mem Tes and Mebeis, that we tell him to bench over again. What do you mean we tell him to bench over again? I mean, it's not Yotze the benching? No. The Re, Tosis quotes the Re. On Mem Tes and Mebeis, the top Tosis, the last 10 lines, quotes the Re. That it could be that you Yotze Shalashudas with Mini Targima, you don't need Pas. In that case, if he could have been Yotze Shalashudas with Mini Targima, then even if he ate Pas, and if you got to say Ritzei, it won't be Leikuva, because you could have had Shalashudas without reciting Birchas HaMazon at all. If you would have had only Admini Targimah, you wouldn't have said Birchas HaMazon. You wouldn't have mentioned Ritzei. So you see that the mentioning of Ritzei is not Ma'akev in the being Kaveh, the Suda, the Shem, Suda, Shabbos. So even if you had Pas, and you have to say Birchas HaMazon, how can you say that the reciting of Ritzei is Leikuva? It's Ma'akev in the being Kaveh, the Suda, the Shem, Suda, Shabbos. So Nachum also, if a person benches on Shabbos and Yom Tov, if he forgets to say Yal V'Yalav, he's Yotzeh the benching. It would appear if the Gemara is Yotzeh the benching. Another thing is not Yotzeh the Suda Shabbos. That's what there is Mesupek. Maybe by Shalosh Shudas is Yotzeh the Suda Shabbos. If you hold, he could have been Yotzeh with Mini Targima. So if a person forgot Ritzei, so he says he's not Yotzeh the Suda Shabbos. He has to eat all over again. Let's say he ate on Friday night. So in order to be Kaber the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos, you have to have two things. You have to have Kiddush B'mak Masuda in advance. You have to sandwich in the meal on both ends with something to be kaveh l'shem suda shabbos. So first you start off with Kiddush, and in the end you end off with Birchas HaMazon with Ritzei. So what happens, let's say he said Kiddush and he forgot to say Ritzei, so we should require of him, he was yotzeh the benching, but he wasn't yotzeh suda shabbos, so we should really require he should eat another meal tonight. He's ready to plot. He already ate so much, he overate already, he's ready to plot. So how can you tell him he should eat another meal? So the Chachamim were makel, so they said, we'll give you a break. Rather than require of you that you should eat over the Suda, we will permit you to repeat Birchas HaMazon the second time, even though you were really Yotze Birchas HaMazon the first time. We will be makel to permit you to repeat Birchas HaMazon in order to gain the mitzvah of Suda Shabbos. So you have a case where a person recites Birchas HaMazon not for the sake of fulfilling Birchas HaMazon. We allow him, it should be a bracha levatol, bracha shein etzvichas, should be a problem. So we permit him to recite Birchas HaMazon a second time, even though he was already Yotzeh Birchas HaMazon the first time. We allow him to repeat the Birchas HaMazon in order to be in fulfillment of the Takanas Chachamim of Suda Shabbos properly determined, that the Suda was Nikva L'Shem Shabbos. So that's what the Gemara raises a possibility over here. The three people, each one of them benched on their own, because they thought that bench and mezumen only makes sense when one of them is outstandingly greater in learning a Yerushalayim, a Dikta Kashmir, something than the others. No one is muflik from the other one. No one of them was a muflik from the other. Hech dika adam gol, hech leka, hech nichi adoranin, the ralik chile brachas adif. So each one benched on his own. So then when the Rebbe told them they did wrong, they were yotze benching, but they should have really had a mezumen anyway, even though none of them was an adam gadol. So they wanted to have a chitaim in the head on the zamet. So let's bench all over again. Maybe they should permit us to recite benching a second time, even though we were yotze benching the first time, in order to gain this mitzvah of having zima. So he says, no, ein zima lemafreya. Bench and mezumen is only if you have a chiyuv to recite Birchas HaMazon, Metoris Birchas HaMazon. Once you're ready with yotze Birchas HaMazon, we don't allow you to say the benching a second time in order to have a zima. Even, for example, in the Shulchan Aruch, they quoted Tshuvas Rashi. I think the Mechaber quotes Tshuvas Rashi. Let's say three people ate together on Shabbos, and they bench Mezumin. And all three forgot to say Ritzeh. So all three have to say over the benching again. So half an hour later, they realized that they all forgot Ritzeh, and they ask a Shaila, and the rabbi says, you got to repeat the benching all over again. So do they bench Mezumin or not? So Rashi writes in the Tshuva, no. They were Yotzeh benching, they weren't Yotzeh Suda Shabbos. So they're repeating the same benching a second time, not for the sake of fulfilling Birchus HaMazon. The same benching a second time in order to be Yotzeh the Suda Shabbos. Because they are the Suda, the Shem Suda Shabbos. So Rashi says, Ein Zimel HaMafrei. Once you were ready Yotzeh benching, we don't allow you. There's no Mezumin at all. They were Yotzeh benching already. The only time you bench Mezumin is when you want to be Yotzeh Birchus HaMazon, then you Yotzeh Birchus HaMazon B'chabura, with Mezumin. Ein zimel
amafreya. The one is mafsik for two. He eats after he finishes the first bracha. Is he mekayim the mitzvah of zimer? He's not listening to the benching. One person is benching, like the time of the Gemara.
Yeah.
So he's eating now after Azam Sakhar.
So the Gemara in the next daf, Taisus learns the Gemara next daf after the two dots, right smack in the middle of Mem Vav and Aleph. So the Gemara has a machloek zarechem birchas hazimer. Nachman amad nevorech. So Taisus learned that's what it means. If one is mafsik from his meal, he pauses for a while to answer mezumin. How long does he have to pause? So one opinion is just the other opinion that we follow is till the end of hazanas hakol. He has to pause till the end of the first bracha, and then he's yotze the din of mezumin, and then he continues to eat later.
Then he has to bench himself again later? In the time of the Gemara, one person is benching.
Yeah.
So he's eating now. Does he have to bench again later?
Yeah, the Gemara is going to say he has to bench later. Yeah. The Gemara is going to say he has to bench again, right? Mm-hmm. Sure.
This person that's benching by himself is benching basically for two people, not for three.
The person who's benching.
The person who's saying the Birchas HaMazon, the Mezamen.
Yeah.
He's only benching for two, not for three. Because the third person's going to have to bench again. It comes out that you have the Tzias of Zimun where one is benching for two. It's not like I'm benching for a Chabura.
Yeah. He starts off till the end of Hazanas HaKol. He starts off saying for all three. That's how we pass it.
And he has to say over the first broker.
And the third one has to say over the first bracha. Yeah. Yeah. We'll have to learn the Gemara to see the details. Then the Gemara has a discussion. What's the din? I come into a group of people and I'm not eating. Three people, 10 people, and they finished eating and they just started to bench Mezumin. They said, Rabbi Sayin Nevarech. So what do I say? I can't say, Ruch Shachan Mishlov Tuvchain. I didn't eat anything. I'm about to start my meal, but I didn't eat anything yet. So one opinion in Gemara is that you say, Baruch Shachan Mishlov Tibuchayinu. One opinion in Gemara is you say, Amen. And they say, Baruch Shachan Mishlov Tibuchayinu, you say Amen. So the Gemara says, there's no machlokes here. Bo mitzvon kishem avrochim, this is 8 lines from the bottom of Mem Hamer Beis. Bo, I walk into a group, I walk into a restaurant, mitzvon kishem avrochim, and I bump into a group of people who are in the middle of bench and mezumin, and mahu ay merachareim, what do you answer? Asvinam avrochim avroch. You can't say Baruch Shachal Mishalov. I didn't eat anything. So say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyolam Void. Say something like Baruch Shachal Mishalov, but you don't say Shachal. Rav Papa says you say Amen. There's no discrepancy. It depends what point did you walk in. Hadash Kichinu Dekami Nivarech. If I walk in and I hear the fellow saying Rabbi Sai Nivarech, so then just like the others answer Baruch Shachal Mishalov Tevuchayinu, so I say Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyolam Void. But if I walk in and I hear them responding, Baruch Shachan Mishlav Tivachayinu, so then I just say Amen at the end. You can only answer, Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema Tomei Lugan Avod, if you heard the Mezamin say that we should all say a bracha. So then he can respond. He can't respond the same way the others who did eat say. They say Baruch Shachan Mishlav, so he should say Baruch Hu, Baruch Shema Tomei Lugan Avod. Or Tosfos quotes from the Halachas Gedolos, Tosfos Nimaschar Rav Zvid. If you have a minion of 10 people, then he should say Baruch Halakeinu Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyolam Vod, not just Baruch Hu Baruch Shmai Tamid Liyolam Vod. But if he came in and you didn't hear the Mezamein call upon the others to recite a bracha Takodesh Baruch Hu, you just hear the others recite the bracha Baruch Shacham Shlav Tavachin, and then you just say Amen. So Gemara Vlad Pli Hadash Kenan Kami Nevarach Hadash Kenan Kami Baruch. Ashkechen et kamen evarech. If he hears the mezamin saying, let's all say a bracha, he says a bracha like the others say a bracha, not exactly like the others say bracha shachalnu. He's not eating anything. But if Ashkechen et kamen baruch, he hears the others responding, so he says amen at the end. Then the Gemara has the famous shaila, when a person is drinking a cup of water and he says shakalni bedvaroi, does it say amen after shakalni bedvaroi or not? Or he says all the bichas shachar. He says amen at the end of the bracha. He says shlosani goy amen, shlosani obed amen. The answer amen after the iron bracha did not. So the Gemara says there's a discrepancy. Tani Chod, it says in one brice, that's four lines from the bottom. It says in one brice, Ha'ayna menachah b'rchoysav ha'rezeh mishubach. It's a very proper practice. It's commendable to recite Amen at the conclusion of one's own bracha. Tani Yidach, the other brice says, no, ha'rezeh megunin. That is very improper. The Gemara says, loy kasha, there's no contradiction. Ha'bivani mishalayim ha'bishar brachas. All other brachas, you're not supposed to say Amen. And Bani Mishalayim, you are supposed to say Amen. Ma'an ishtana Bani Mishalayim from all the other brachas. It is a famous machlekes. So here for the Rishonim say that Bani Rachma Bishalayim Amen is the conclusion of Birchas Hamazon and the Raisa. The Gemara learns that from Sukkim. Eretz Hashalabi Miskenis Tachal Balechem Beachalta Vesavota Verachta Hashem Alkech Ala Oretz Atoivo Ashenosan Lo. So Verachta Hashem Alkech means you have to thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for giving you the bread. That's the first bracha. Al Ha'oretz, you have to thank the Rabbanu Shalom for giving you Eretz Yisrael. HaToivah is a reference to Yerushalayim. As the Pasuk says, HaHor HaToivah Zeh VeHalavonon. That's a reference to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim has two parts to it. One part is the Beis HaMikdosh. One part is the Malchus Beis David. So Bizman Sheh Beis HaMikdosh HaYakayim, Bizman that there was a Malchus Beis David. So you have to thank the Rabbanu Shalom for giving us the Beis HaMikdosh and the Malchus Beis David. Bizman is that we have neither. So instead of thanking the Rebbe Shalom for giving us the Malchus Beis David and the Beis HaMikdash, so we say, Rachmno, Al Yerushalayim Yerech, Val Tzimish Kan Kvedecha, Val Mikdashecha, Val Abayis HaGor, Val Kodesh Nikr, Shimcho, Val Malchus Beis David, Mishichecha, have Rachmanes. Yeah. What does the Gemara say here? Omer Av Nachman, seven lines from the top, Amem Chesam and Beis. Seven lines from the top, it's a famous Gemara. Moshe Tikin Li Yisob Bichas Hazam B'Shosh Yorod Lehem Amon. When the man came down, Moshe Rabbeinu said, they have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for giving them the food. It's lechem in Hashemayim. So they had to say Azanus HaKol. They didn't have to say Noi Delecho. They didn't have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for the matan of Eretz Yisrael, even though Avraham Avinu was kind of Eretz Yisrael by walking around the borders. Rebbeinu Shalom commanded them, Kum Misal Vorot L'Orko L'Roch Baki L'Choy Teneno. So the Gemara says, L'Choy Teneno is not a promise in the distant future. That it's sometimes, some date in the future, the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to give. No. Take it from yet. By walking around the borders, he was going to Eretz Yisrael already. So why don't we have to thank, in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, why didn't they have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for the Matnas Eretz Yisrael? The answer is, it wasn't yet delivered. The Kinyan was made by Avram Avinu. Eretz Yisrael Mechazak Zim Yavasein Mevais Avram Avinu. The Gemara's Maskonitz, it's the Muchzok, and the Pchor would get Pishnayim if the father dies. The Pchor gets Pishnayim. But still, the Gemara says, Lamaisa wasn't delivered to Bnei Yisrael until after the 14 years of Kibish V'chiluk in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So Yeshua tikan lam l'Yisrael b'chas ha'oretz. Yeshua ben Nun composed the second bracha. We have to thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for Matnas Eretz Yisrael. When he gave the Matana b'poel mamshit, it didn't help from the days of Avraham Avinu that Eretz Yisrael mechzakas me'avoseinu, but Lamaisa we didn't have it until after Yeshua ben Nun conquered the land. So he composed the third bracha. The fourth bracha, that's the second bracha. They thank the Rebbeinu Shalom for Matnas Eretz Yisrael. So Yeshua ben Nun is the one who conquered Eretz Yisrael after the Shevish HaKavsha and the Shevish HaChilkul. Then he composed the second bracha. The third bracha was composed part by David HaMelech and part by Shlomo HaMelech. The third bracha was supposed to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving us Al HaOretz HaToivo. HaToivo is a reference to Yerushalayim. Al HaOretz is a reference to Eretz Yisrael. HaToivo is like Or HaToivo Zeva Halvona. That's a reference to Yerushalayim. So the two parts of Yerushalayim are the Beis HaMikdash and the Malchus Beis David. So in the days of David HaMelech, he was first the Melech in Hebron for 37 years or something. I forgot. Six and a half years. I forgot. Chumash also. Okay, but that's not in Chumash, I don't think. Yeah. So David HaMelech, first the Melech in Hebron. Then he became a Melech in Yerushalayim. So when he became the Melech in Yerushalayim, then he was notified that his is the Malchus HaNevcheres, because the Rambam quotes in Perek Aleph, the beginning of Hilchos Malachim, only the Melech and the Malchut Beis David, the chosen Malchus, the Malchus Hanan Cheres, has the right to establish its government offices in Yerushalayim. So when he moved from Hebron to Yerushalayim, so his was established as the Malchus Hanan Cheres. So that's when he composed the first part of the third brach of the benching. We thank the Rabbanu Shalom for giving Klal Yisrael the Malchus Hanan Cheres, the official Malchus. Then Shlomo HaMelech, his son, he wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash, but the Nabi didn't permit him to. So his son Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, and that's Yerushalayim Bishleimusa, is the Malchus Beis David with the Beis HaMikdash. So Shlomo HaMelech composed the second half of the third bracha in the Birchas HaMazon. So that's what the Lashon HaGemara is. Amar Abnach Moshe Rabbeinu Tikkun Lahem Yisrael Birchas HaZon, B'Shoah She'ed Lahem Hamon, Yeshua Bin Nun Tikkun Lahem Birchas HaOretz, Kim Shenichnas Yisrael HaOretz, and David Shlomo Tikkun Ben Yerushalayim. What do you mean David Shlomo? David Tikkun Al Yisrael HaMecha Val Yerushalayim Yirecha, Malchus Beis David. Not the way we have it. We have Rachim no, have Rachmanis. That was after the Churban Abayis and after the Churban of the Malchus Beis David. So we changed the Nusach to Rachim no. But in the days of David Shlomo, they thanked the Rabban Shlom. They said, Neidelecho, we thank you for giving us Yerushalayim with the Malchus Beis David. Yerushalayim is officially the capital of Eretz Yisrael. And the Malchus Beis David is the official government. You can only have the official government located in the official capital of Eretz Yisrael. And then the fourth bracha, Hatayva Meitiv, the Gemara says, B'yavne Tiknua, Keneged Hagruge Betar. That was years later. That's Legamre Midrabbanan. But the first three brachas are there. I said, that's the Gemara continues after the two dots, Tana Rabbanan. That's 15 lines down from the top of Mem Chesem and Beis, Tana Rabbanan. Say the Bichas Hamazon Kachu, Bracha Rishon, Bichas Hazon, Shnea, Bichas Har, Shlish, Bani Rishalayim, Revis Hatayva Meitiv. Then skip to the next, Tana Rabbanan. Next two dots, 23 lines from the top. Tana Rabbanan says it's a Tosefta. Minayin lebichas hamazon min atar shenema v'chalta v'sevata v'irachta. Zabichas hazon. Es Hashem okecha. Zabichas hazimun. Okay, that's a different marker for zimun. Okay. Al ha'oretz, zabichas ha'oretz. Ha'toivo, zuban Yerushalayim. Where do you come off to say toivo means Yerushalayim? V'chein o'aymer. Ahor ha'toivo zeh v'halavonan. So that's a reference to Yerushalayim. And Yerushalayim has the dual aspect to it. Yerushalayim is the makam of the Beis HaMikdash and the location, the capital of Eretz Yisrael, the location of the Malchus Beis David. So that's why the third bracha, thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu over Matnas Yerushalayim, was composed by David and Shlomo. David had the first half. In the days of David, they were given the first half. In the days of Shlomo, they were given the second half, the Beis HaMikdash. So that's what the Gemara says. HaTayv HaMeitav is Lav Deraisa. Up until there, everything is Deraisa. Zanas HaKol, Anoy Delechol, Eretz V'Alamazen. And the third bracha is the thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for Malchus Beis David and for Yerushalayim. Atayv HaMeitav is only the Rabbanan, the Gemara says. So that's what the Gemara says over here. That's what the Gemara says over here. You should say Amen after Bnei Yerushalayim. Why? Where I'm then Behem and Beis, the last two lines. Haba Bnei Yerushalayim, Haba Shabrach. Shabrach, you're not supposed to say Amen. At the conclusion of Bnei Yerushalayim, you're supposed to say Amen. Why? So here there's a big Machlekes HaRishonim. So most of the Rishonim say, whenever there is a series of brachas that just completed, let's say the Shemona Esri, is a series of brachas in a specific order. You're supposed to recite the Yud Tes brachas in a specific order, Allah Seder. Or let's say the Sheva brachas under the Chuppah. Is a series of brachas in a specific order. You're not supposed to change the order. But the Yevet, if you said out of order, you'll be Yotze. Shemona Esri, the din is, but the Yevet, if you say out of order, we pass, can you not Yotze? Rashi says, Rashi says on the Gemara before Emtsoyus and Lahem Seder. So Rashi learns that you Yotze the Shemona Esri and you say the brachas out of order. And we pass in the Shulchan Aruch like Tesis that if you say out of order, you're not Yotze. But the Gemara says Ein Lahem Seder means a different thing. That if a person made a mistake in the middle of the Shemona Esri, it doesn't have to go back to Atachain and all the way to the beginning. It just goes back to that bracha where he made the mistake, and from that point on, it goes to the end. That's what it means Ein Lahem Seder. But it doesn't mean if you say B'di'evet out of order, you Yotze. That's what we pass in the Seder is Miyakev. The Seder by the Bichos Nisuin would not be Miyakev. You say it out of order, you are Yotze. But HaKopanim, the Bichos Nisuin has a Seder L'chatchila, and the Shemona Esri has a Seder even B'di'evet. So whenever you have a series of brachas that are connected to each other, so then you're supposed to say Amen at the end. So just like Bnei Yerushalayim by the Bichos HaMazon, there's a Seder of brachas, and it should be in a specific order. So when you complete the whole Seder, you should say Amen. So the completion should really have been at the end of L'Olam HaYechasreinu. All the Harachmans were added later in the days of the Goyim. So really, the benching is concluded when you say the Olamai Yechasrein, everybody should say Amen. So even one who's benching should say Amen. He should be Oinachat Bichasatzmo. So Gemara says, no. The series of brachas is concluded when you say Bodim Rachmav Yushalayim, then you say Amen. That's the Bichas Hamazon. Atayv Ameitiv is only Midirabbanon. So what do you mean it's only Midirabbanon? But Midirabbanon, didn't they make it that it's part of the Bichas Hamazon? No. The Rabbanon, they didn't say it's part of the Birchas Hamazon. The Birchas Hamazon is finished. Minatar Midir Rabbanon with Bani Berachim Av Yushalayim Amen. The benching is over. They instituted Atoyva Meitav as a bracha to be recited after the conclusion of the bench. That time Midir Rabbanon is part of the benching. Whenever you bench, it should be cited this after you finish the whole benching. Yeah, how do you know that that's so? From this Gemara that you say Amen. Yeah. That's the chor, the pshat over here. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Magen Avraham Shulchan Aruch has a shaila. Let's say a person doesn't remember if he's half drunk, he finished eating, doesn't remember if he recited benching or not. And there's no one else there who is not drunk, who remembers whether he benched or not. So what's the din? Safek berch birchas hamazon, safek lo berch birchas hamazon. How would you paskin? So we paskin that birchas hamazon is only there I say if he ate kidei sviya. So if he ate kidei svi, he's obligated to bench menatar, and he's misupik if he benched or not. So we would say safik deraisa luchumi has to repeat the benching. But if he knows that he didn't eat kidei svi, he only ate kizaisa kabeitza, so we paskin a shulchan aruch, that's only midirabbanan. So safik birch birch is hamas and safik labirch, you wouldn't have to bench over. But if he knows for sure that he ate kidei svi, and he's obligated to bench menatar, he's misupik if he said the benching or not, so we would say that he has to repeat the benching. So how much of the benching is there? I said, till the end of Banim Rachma Yishalayim Amen. I tell you, Meitav is love there, I said. So maybe that you should go to Kula. So the Magen Aharon quotes a tshuva from the Mahari Alevi, I think. I think that's the Taz's brother. The tshuva is Mahari Alevi. He says, you have to go to Chumra even on Atayva Meitav. Why? So if you would have asked us, we would have said, it's a suffix there, I said, Lechumra, whether you have to bench. So even though the benching is over with Banim Rachman Vishalayim Amein, that's the end of the benching, but with the Rabbanim, you're not finished the benching until you say the Olamai Yechasrein. So you have to say over everything because with the Rabbanim, that's part of the benching. He doesn't say that explanation. That's how the Rambam writes. If a person, the Rambam quotes the Gemara, Chof Aleph and Aleph. We went through this already. The Rambam quotes the Gemara, Chof Aleph and Aleph, Safik Kara Kriyashma, Safik Loi Kara Kriyashma. So the Rambam writes Chayzev Kari in Birchoseh. You have to repeat the Kriya Shema with the brachas. So the Kesef Mishnah quotes a kasha from the Tshuvas HaRashba. Why do you have to repeat the brachas when a person is mesupik if he shuk a lulav or not? Let's say shuk a lulav is not sure if it's kosher or not. So the Rambam says he has to repeat the mitzvah safik derais alechumah, but he doesn't have to repeat the bracha because safik brachas lachol safik derabban on the kula. So here, why does the Rambam say if a person is safik kara Kriya Shema safik lo kara? Why in Birchoseh? The Birchos Kriya Shema is for sure only Midir Rabbanan. The Kriya Shema is Deraisa. So you should have said, Chayzev Kari Kriya Shema, Sofik Deraisa Luchumra. But Li Abrachas, like one is Mesupik if he was Yotze Lulavana. He has to shake the Lulav again. But Li Bracha, the Sofik Brachas Lahakal. So why does that? That's the Rashba, that's the Akasha. The Chuvus of Rashba poses this Kasha in the Ram. So the Kes Mishnah quotes it. So he said, the Rashba writes, the Rambam understood that that's the Takanas Chacham. Whatever you have to say Kriya Shema, you have to say the Brachas also. What is he driving at? It means that Midir Rabbanan, Kriya Shema in Birchoseh constitutes one big kiyum. The three Brachas of Kriya Shema spell out the themes of the three Parshas of Kriya Shema. So since I say regarding the Kriya Shema, Sofik Deraisa Luchum, Sofik Kara Kriya Shema, Sofik Loikara, Chayzev Kara Kriya Shema, so the Rambam understands that Midir Rabbanan, Kriya Shema has to be fulfilled. I'll say to our brachas, each one of the brachas spells out the themes that are contained in each one of the three parshios. So you say, Sofik, the Raisa Luchumri, even with respect to those aspects of Kriya Shema that are only in the Rabbana, namely to recite the Birchos Kriya Shema. That's what we assume. So why don't you say the same by the Birchos Hamazon? Sofik, Berich, Birchos Hamazon, Sofik, Leit, Berich, Chayzim, Mavarach, Birchos Hamazon, with Hatoiv Ameitiv. Why with Hatoiv Ameitiv? Because in the Rabbana, that's part of the benching. He ate kidei sviya, is mukhiv to bench menatar. Safik birich birchas hamas and safik loy birich. So chazim avarech with hatayv ametiv, because hatayv ametiv is part of the bench. The Maria Levi doesn't give that reason. He gives up a different time. He says, hechad alol is al zuli bay. We're afraid people are going to be mezalza. The Gemara has such a consideration here. The last line, amem hamid base. Rabashi only belechisha. He only said amin softly. He didn't want people to realize that atelamita is lab deraisa. They're going to stop saying atelamita. They'll be mezalzim. So that's what Maria Levy says. If you'll tell a person sofik birch birchas hamas and sofik labirch, you should repeat the benching just till. Don't say Atayva Meitiv. So next thing you know is that they'll start leaving out Atayva Meitiv all the time, even if they know Bevada that they didn't recite benching yet. So that's the Shad. So why does the Maria Levy have to say a new reason? Kecha de lel zalzuli be. You should have said midirabbanan. You didn't finish the benching yet. Safik deraisa lechumre. You have to repeat the whole benching with all of the aspects of benching that are even midirabbanan. Safik deraisa lechumre goes on everything. So the answer is because Hateva Meitav was never instituted even with the Rabbanon's part of the benching. It was instituted as a bracha to be recited after the benching is over, not a bracha to be recited at the conclusion of the benching. Menatari, you need three brachas, Azanas Akol, Aloretz V'Alamazen, and thank you for Beis Hamikdash with Yerushalayim, with Malchus Beis David. And with the Rabbanon, you need four brachas Hateva Meitav. No, Hateva Meitav is a separate bracha recited after the benching is all over. So that's what the Gemara says. You say amen. The series of brachas is over when you say Vayner Rachman Yishalayim amen. Yeah, what about Nishmana Esrei? When you say Hamavarchas Hamisol Basham, you should say amen. That's a series of brachas. So gradually we do say amen. Osi Shalom Yasa Shalom Kol Yisov Yimro amen. We say amen at the end of the Nishmana Esrei. At the end of the Sheva brachas, we should say amen. No, at the end of the Sheva brachas, we should say amen. There are other places where you have a series of brachas. Let's say Yaknahas, quite a series of brachas. So you should really say Amen at the end. It's a conclusion of a series of brachas. So the answer is we don't follow this. Taisa says Puk Chazim Ayam Debar Lenogolanas Amen El Achav Bani Mishalayim Debichas Hamazon. We don't follow this shita. Tirush Abayin Chanan Balochas Gedolus Yesh Meforshim. The real way the Rambam says the most of the Rishonim say. The Bani Rishalayim, he say, Amen is Lav Dafka Bani Rishalayim. It means Bani Rishalayim Chol Kayotze Bezeh. Whenever there's a series of brachas and you completed the whole series. So at the end of, let's say you say Baruch Shama before Pesukah Zimra and Yishtabach after, that's considered a series of brachas. Baruch Shama before, Yishtabach after. So you should really say Amen at the conclusion of Yishtabach. So the Rambam Taka says, you say Amen. We don't do that. Or the Birchas Kriyashma. Birchas Kriyashma has a Seder. So you should really say Amen at the conclusion of the Birchas Kriyashma. So we don't follow. Taisa says, Puk Chazim Ayam Adibar. Minigalim is, we only say Amen after Bein Rachma Yerushalayim Amen. What is unique about that? So the Gemara says, because the Poilim don't recite it at all. Because they have to put in a full day's work for the Balabas. So we want to say Amen in order that the Poilim should know that they should go to work. So that's the Minigalim that we follow that sheet. Even though Rav Rishonim hold not so, Rav Rishonim hold, whenever you have a series of brachas, they're really supposed to say amen at the conclusion of the whole series.
So when it comes to benching on a kos, shaliyah, really, even if you did, you could actually put the kos down whenever shaliyah amen, you could put the cup down.
And you don't have to have a toiv ameitiv
al ayayin. Because according to this.
Not sure. I mean, we're saying that it's not part of the benching. So maybe you should still have Ateva Meitav also ala kos. So you should require two koses, one kos for the bench and one kos for Ateva Meitav. No one requires that. I haven't heard yet. No one requires two different koses. I don't know. That's a good question. Is it okay if you put the cup down after Bein Rach Mishlaim Amen, or do you have to hold it till the end of the Olam HaYichasrim? I don't know. That's a good question. Should really recite two brachas, yeah. So what does the Gemara say? This contradiction. The Gemara loy kasha. The one brisa says, "Hon amaracha birchaisav is meshubach." The other brisa says, "Harizim begunet." Gemara says, "Loy kasha. Hob b'bein Rishalayim, hob b'shar brachas." If you're answering amen after b'bein Rishalayim, either you want to advertise, you want to notify the poilim they should go to work, they should stop benching, or it's a series of brachas. So then everyone agrees you should say amen, and hob b'shar brachas you should not say amen. We paskin like that one version. That not any time you have a series of brachas. Puk chazim ayam adibar, Taisa says. Minigolim is you only say after b'nei v'rachma mishalayim amen. You don't say it by every series of brachas. If you hold that you should say amen after every series of brachas, so by birchas kriyashma, where would the series of brachas end? You have two birchas kriyashma before, and one or two after. By marav you have two after. Emes v'amuna, and you have hashkivenu. And shachris, you have emes v'yatzi. So the series of brachas would be at the very end, the whole conclusion after Hashkivenu, or after Goal Yisrael and Shachris. Well, the series of brachas be over when you say Abba Rabba Abba Solom. The series of brachas is the first two brachas, and Emes V'Yatzev is not part of the series. And you say no, Birchas Kriyas Shema, the whole thing is one big series of brachas. But you got to look in the Rambam. The Rambam talks about that. Where does the series of brachas end? Because the Rambam holds that you always do say Amen after the conclusion of a series of brachas, after the Shemona Esrei, and after Yishtabach, and after Yehalalucha, after Halal. He says the bracha before Halal, bracha after Halal. Yalucha, that's a series of brachas, so you say Amen at the end. So the Rambam holds you should say you should have said Amen after the brachas of Birchas Kriyashma, because it's a series of brachas. But we don't. So it gives a whole explanation. Where is this? When does the series end? So we got to take a look for tomorrow. Okay. Today there's no Tachnon, so we could learn 2 minutes longer. Okay.